here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Scott Goble. It's the 18th of February, 2014, and I just want to mention before we kick it off, this episode is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. Scoop, shake, and get shredded. Now, Scotty, we've got a big show ahead of us. We've got two absolutely awesome guests. We've got IFBB Pro Promoter. We've got the man behind FitX and Doherty's Gym, Tony Doherty. Uploaded on the show, and he has some. I mean, he's got some really good news. He's got some interesting stuff as well. But I think people will find very, very interesting. And we've got Adam Browner as well. He talks about his prep and what class, if he's going to fall into the 212s or he's going to be an open guy and all that kind of stuff. So we've got a good show ahead of us, Scotty. How have you been anyway?
I've been good, mate. I've been just plugging away, doing my thing. At 3 weeks out, you know what it's like. It's all just about ticking off boxes and managing your time and fitting it all in. So I've been doing that and it's all been going well. It's just a little juggling act for me now the last 3 weeks. I'm pretty much ready. It's just, you know, fine-tuning and playing around. And I'm in that position that I've always talked about being, where I'm actually ready early and, you can sort of cruise into the show. So that's what I'm doing.
How does that feel, like being ready early? And like, because it's almost like if you're ready early, you're kind of almost waiting around saying, oh, I want it to be here now. Are you feeling like that at all? And it's like dragging out?
No. Look, I'm when I say, look, I'm ready. Look, if I got on stage today, I would have looked a lot better than I did last year. But I still think I'm going to be better. You know, I still think I could be fuller, definitely. I'm a little bit flat at the moment, but you know, and there's a couple of little things that I could potentially, you know, polish up a little bit as well. So, I expect to be better, but it's just tiny percentages better. It's all good.
Awesome. Good to hear. Now, you put up a picture, actually, which has been something pretty rare for you 3 weeks out. I think you put it up on Friday, so just over 3 weeks out. And Scotty, like, I normally say to you, you don't look as good until you get on stage. Like, you kind of come alive on stage. But you were looking fucking impressive. Now, you mentioned your weight increase last week. Obviously, you can see that in pictures, and you're definitely in condition. So, that got a good response. And everyone was, like, a lot of people were saying Josh Lenardowicz for a fair bit of your prep was going to win and all this stuff. And now you've got more people saying Scott Goble than Josh Lenardowicz.
It depends on what page you go on. If you go on my page, you do. If you go on Josh Lenardowicz's page, you'll have more people saying Josh Lenardowicz will win. So it's all just fluff and Facebook hype, and that's good. Good for, you know, the competition, good for the spectators. It's interesting, but it's all meaningless 3 weeks out. So, Josh might show up at 120, absolutely shredded to the bone, and make me look like a lanky basketball player. So if that's the case, then Josh will win it, and I'll cheer him on at the pro show. And look, if I can come in and be comparable to Josh and outcondition him and sneak a win, fantastic. And, you know, maybe Andy Crawford or Adam Browner or David Cutler beats the both of us, and we go eat humble pie. And realised that all the hype was really absolutely meaningless. So, it's all fun and games for everyone to speculate, but speculation doesn't bring home the pro card.
Yeah, exactly. And I kind of spoke to that note later in the show with Adam Brown. We kind of spoke a bit about, you know, how one photo will go up or one person saying, oh, this person's going to be on, can change so many people's opinion. And in the end of the day, you know, changing people's opinion before the show doesn't really change anything that's going to happen on the day of the show.
No, exactly. And people don't put up shit shots, you know, like I didn't post a shot where I was, you know, flat. I just trained legs. They were bloated. All the blood was out of my upper body. You know, I was looking crappy. I posted a picture, after some chest back supersets where I was pumped and the upper body looked in balance, and for some reason I'd woken up dry that morning and Tony hassled me about getting some pics with his NPC wear clothing, and I was like, well, you know what? I actually look pretty shit odd at the moment, so why not? So, yeah, and there was a few pictures taken, and obviously I posted the best of all those pictures.
Yeah, smart.
So, you know, I'm not going to do the twisting back shot with emphasis on the shallow tricep or something like that, you know? Like, it's not going to happen. So, you know, it is done, I guess, to generate hype and to create a bit of interest, but it's always done with some bias as well.
Yeah, definitely. Now, there's a video that went up, actually, of featuring a few other athletes, but 3 weeks out as well. That was done on Saturday in Doherty's gym in Brunswick, and we've got that up on rxmuscle.com.au. You can check out this short preview video where you get to see a photo shoot that kind of features all, like, Anthony Rufus, who's doing the men's physique pro qualifier. It features Amy Fox. It features Amanda Doherty, IFBB pro. Renee Smith, IFBB pro, and Mark Gretsch, and I think that's about it. But it's got, you kind of get to see all these guys, and I think a lot of the guys out there are very interested to see how, you know, Gretsch looks and stuff like that as well. And he's one of the guys, obviously, that's doing a 212 pro qualifier. So that was done over the weekend, and they're doing like basically the end video is going to be like a 212 men's and women's physique. Almost like a preview to kind of like preview the upcoming classes and create some hype around them. Which is really cool. And I think Gary Phillips, I think he did the video for it as well, and also he did photo shoots that day. So I imagine he had a pretty busy ass day.
Yeah, I think Gary might have just done the actual photos, and I think mate Hayden, who's helps out Tony a lot with his online stuff, might have shot the video, but I'm not 100% sure about that. I think that's the case. But yeah, they all came down on Saturday. I know Amy and Andy Bell were down here for the entire weekend. Saw them briefly on Sunday. They'd been training 2-3 times a day with the thrower at Doherty. So, yeah, she's going hard and she looks fantastic. Gretchy's made a lot of improvements. Renee's awesome. And I tell you what, the one who cannot be overhyped is Amanda Doherty. She is pure class. Like, Amanda's ready now. And they're just, again, just playing around, just keeping her upper body full, just tightening everything up. Amanda's, I honestly think, significantly improved over last year. And I think last year she got a fifth or a sixth. I think she was one spot behind Renee, who was just behind the, you know, best of the best of the American pros. So, yeah, Amanda's a very interesting one. She's looked incredible for a long time and just keeps getting better. The point now where you're like, okay, you're ready. Any time, I can see her first thing in the morning after cardio. I can see her after, you know, six straight PTs back to back. She looks like she could jump on stage at any moment. So I'm really interested to see how she does too.
Yeah, same. I'm very interested to see how Amanda does because, yeah, she, like you said, she looks absolutely phenomenal from this video and from pictures she's been putting up, and she just looks flat out ready. Well, there's no way to put it. She just looks ready. So I'm excited to see how she goes, obviously, at the Arnold. And, obviously she had that surgery as well, the umbilical surgery and all that stuff. So it'll be interesting to see how, obviously, that comes up and how it all looks on stage and comes together. So I'm excited to see that because I think she has made some good improvements, not only there with the surgery and stuff, but in her physique. And she's very much in condition as well. So that's exciting. But speaking of Mark Gretsch, who is in that photo shoot, as well, there's a picture that we put up. I think it was not too long after the last radio show, and it was actually done by Anthony Rufus. He did up a little picture and said, oh, why don't you post this, you know, 212 battle type thing. And it was a progress shot of Mark Gretchy and also Gary Wright next to each other, and geez, it created a lot of hype. I don't know if it had like over 100 comments or what on there, but it had people going back and forth, and there's some people saying Gretchy definitely, people saying Gary Wright, you guys have no idea how big he is at the moment, and all this stuff. But Scotty, like, people get pretty passionate about this. Like, people are getting pretty fired up, and it's probably a lot of the, you know, these people's mates and people that follow them pretty closely. But, I mean, what do you think about all this? Do you like the fact that there's this, you know, that, you know, not just the athletes are getting involved, because Gary Wright isn't on Facebook at all at the moment, so he's basically, you know, staying right off there. But who are really getting fired up about it?
Yeah, they do. I find it just amusing because, you know, yeah, fine to support someone, you know, I'm going to support Gretchy all the way because You know, he's a good mate, and I want to see him do well. And, you know, we've been talking regularly all throughout the prep. And, you know, so I want Gretchy to win it, but I'm not going to go abusing someone that says Gary's going to win it. It's a subjective sport, and at the end of the day, I wouldn't be surprised if there's people in the crowd and maybe even people in the judging panel which are disagreeing on it. So it's kind of, to me, if you get really fired up and you say something along the lines of you're an idiot for thinking this or something along those lines, well, that exposes you in your ignorance, because it is a subjective sport. And if you think someone's better, you are more than entitled to that opinion. So when people get fired up, I sort of just laugh. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who I want to win or who looks better now or any of that. What matters is the consensus opinion of the judging panel on the day. So, it's all fun and games. And for someone who has a bit of perspective and knowledge of the sport, it's a bit of a laugh when people get really fired up.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually like it, because it shows people are really, really into this show, and there's going to be, there's going to be people at this show just watching with so much interest, and they're going to be so excited for it. So, I mean, you see this stuff with, you know, when someone posts pictures of pros, it says, you know, maybe like a pro next to another pro saying, you know, who's going to win the Olympia or who's going to win this show, and people get fired up about it, and it seems like it's in almost the same vein as that. And so, some of these people, it seems like they don't even know these, you know, Gary Wright or Gretchy personally, but obviously some do as well, which adds a bit of interest. And yeah, it's just flat out exciting for me. And we had Gary Wright's guy who's prepping him, Trevor Leadbeater. He was jumping on there, kind of saying, you know, Gary's at 98 kilos right now, and he's gonna make weight, and he's looking very full and freaky, and he won't have the same kind of problems as last year where he flattened out and stuff like that. So that's obviously a scary prospect as well. So it's going to be a battle, and so that 212 class is absolutely stacked. And obviously we've got Adam Browner on later in the show, who's the guy that has kept pretty covered up, and, you know, who knows what we'll get from him. So it's going to be very exciting.
Yeah, I wonder if Big Trev knows that Gary's also being prepped by Mike's team.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's pretty solid. There's a few camps, I think, which are claiming Gary's prep. Now, that's a pretty interesting one, because if Gary is getting advice off multiple people, that can really do your head in. So Gary would probably want to choose someone to work with and work with exclusively. And from what I'm understanding, it's not Trev. But Trev may still be issuing his advice. So, you know, that whether that's helping or hindering the process, I'm not really sure.
I'm dieting. I read through this pretty quick, but yeah, he's definitely giving Gary Wright advice or looking after him in some way at least. So, he's definitely helping Gary out in some way. So,
well, there are others claiming to be doing the same thing. So,
we're going to have like a situation with like George Farah and what's David?
Norman.
Ron Norman situation. It's funny. I enjoy that. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. I have to follow that up and talk to some people about it. But a guy who's going to be on the IFBB Pro stage this year is Abe Elzebeck. And he had put it out there, who's his trainer, that Abe's going to be 10 kilos heavier than the last time he stepped on a pro stage, which was his first time. And Abe, you know, when he did turn pro, obviously he was good enough to beat David Cutler and GoPro. But, you know, he did look almost like a little bit flat for Abe. You know what I mean? He did look just a little bit deflated compared to how he has looked in the past. But Abe with 10 kilos on his frame is going to be bloody scary. And he's going to be a guy that I think people are underrating a bit. I mean, people talk about, you know, Luke Timms and stuff like that, and the guys that might win their pro card like yourself, Scotty. But I think people are underrating Abe a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. He popped into Doherty's and Tony only managed to get him to, you know, flex his quads. And he said, the only way I can describe his quads are plats-like. He said there's details and muscles and striations and things going in there, which he's just never seen before. He said he looked absolutely ready. He looked big. You know, his legs are obviously ridiculous, but he looked big. For Tony to be impressed and use terms like plats-like, I think Abe's going to deliver the goods. you know, as I know, I'm coming across as pretty confident with my condition and my gains and stuff like that. I don't think for one second that I actually believe I could stand with Luke Timms or Abel Zabak. I think those guys are at the next level. I'm just hoping to just, you know, make the transition and take things from there. But those dudes are the real deal. They're massive. I stood next to Timms not that long ago, and he's got me well and truly covered.
Yeah, and speaking of Luke Timms, he had a leap training video that he posted the other day, and we'll be posting that. That'll be up on rxmuscle.com.au by the time this show goes up as well. So you can just go and check that out. And he's looking insane. Like you said, like Luke Timms is actually, I would consider him, even in a IFB pro level, I'd consider him a mass monster. When he doesn't flatten out and he comes in his full kind of self, or the way he has looked, you know, just out from a comp, he's freaky big. Like and I mean, he's just looking bigger at the moment as well. So he's going to be a guy that, I mean, do you think he can take out any of the names that are coming out from the States? Like, do you think there's a potential for, you know, if some of these guys from the States are off, that Luke can slip in there and knock off some big names?
Like beating Ed Nunn or something?
Yeah.
Look, if he's really worked on his presentation, I honestly think, you know, in the past, he could have been beating Omar Deckard and you know, being, you know, third or fourth. I remember watching that comparison. I think I was sitting right behind you at the time, and it was Timms, Omar Deckard, and the guy from New Zealand who looked awesome. Man, I should remember that guy. Darren Onikawa, thank you very much. And I remember thinking, Omar and Darren are blowing Timms away, but Timms has the best physique out there. He was the biggest one, thickest overall. He was conditioned, but he just didn't know how to show it. So if Timmy can bring some presentation, and, you know, I'd love to work with him on his presentation, but I honestly think he could do some damage. I think he could beat Ed Nunn. I don't see Ed Nunn beating him on anything other than having a really small waist, you know? Like, Ed Nunn's got big, sweepy quads, but Timms' quads are just retarded. Ed Nunn's got big shoulders. Timms' shoulders are better. Timms' shoulders are better. So, yeah, I think he could. I don't know that he will.
Yeah, I reckon Luke's one of these guys that works super hard on every aspect. Perhaps, you know, he has worked on his posing, but perhaps he doesn't work on his posing like he does everything else. And I think that's a crucial part for him at this point, just at a pro level. You know, being able to display, you know, what he works so damn hard for, be able to display it really well, it would just make, I think, a world of difference.
Yeah, I think it would too. He does work hard on his posing. I've spoken to him about it, and then he says he forgets it all entirely the moment he walks out on stage, because he just gets so anxious about, you know, flexing everything, and he turns into sort of the tin man on stage, and just basically contracts everything at once, and there's no fluidity to his movement. So he poses too hard. He over flexes.
Yeah. And you can do that as well. And it's something like, obviously, you know, if he's working on it and stuff like that, it's kind of hard. Like, it helps a lot, because, I mean, I went through my posing today, Scotty, and I was like, I hadn't been working my posing as much as I should have. Like, I admit that. But it gasses you as well. So unless there's a lot of people out there that you see posing, and they'll hit some shots, and, you know, the judges work them hard. They might do a few comparisons and stuff. If they're hitting their shots and then they're sweating their ass off and then they're having to relax in between poses, that takes a lot away from your physique as well. You've got to be posing all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I just took a posing class on the weekend, and that was one of the things I emphasised. The moment you walk on stage to the moment you walk off, you are in a pose of some sort.
Yeah, and I did it after I did some high-intensity cardio, and I, holding my legs was the hardest thing because I were pumped already, but it was, I was holding my pose for 10 seconds, went through the mandatories and the quarter turns, and then I did my routine, and by the end of that, I was gassed. I was like, fuck, I'm done. So it's not as easy as it looks, especially when you have to hold that front relaxed and stuff for a fair while while the judges talk. It's much easier, it looks much easier than it is.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, 24 guys in a posing class, and they were all just getting absolutely hammered. They were all sweating and huffing and puffing. So
you ran that posing class?
Yeah, I ran a posing class yesterday at Spartan's gym.
Oh, awesome. How did it go?
It was great. I filled it to capacity and took everyone through it. They all got a lot out of it. So, it was good. I plan on doing a few more. It's, something I've developed a little flair for. I take a fair bit of individual posing now. And I'm finding there's some key teaching points and you can fix people up and improve their presentation fairly quickly. So, yeah, I think I've got something to offer.
Yeah, I've got one posing client at the moment who's guy's doing a natural show over here in Perth, and he's like, because a lot of people that I have worked with posing, they've been, generally they've started off and they've been terrible, like, and they have gotten better. But this guy, like, I saw him 1 week and then he came back the next week and I said, okay, practice within, 24 to 48 hours after we do this, practice, and try to remember it all. And then do it within another, 24 to 48 hours, do another, practice by yourself. And he came back the next week and I was so shocked at how much better he was. Like, it was amazing. So if you get someone who's willing to work on it as well, after you actually teach them, then it's so much easier.
Yeah, it's not that hard. That's all I tell people. All you have to do is learn the execution, then practice it. But if you don't learn the execution of your poses correctly in the first place and you practice them wrong, that's when it gets difficult because you got to unteach all the bad habits and relearn it. So, if you are doing a show, I would recommend finding someone who can teach you how to pose correctly the first time, not just wing it or have your mates look at you and go, oh, yeah, that looks pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Scotty, on that note, the show's going to be a long one. We've got two big interviews and me and Mick recorded for a long time and stuff. So we're going to skip over our second segment. So I just want to thank some sponsors and stuff because I've decided to split them up instead of just mention them all at the end of a radio show. I want to shout out bulknutrients.com.au. Check out their monthly special. It's always a special when you order $250 or more. International Protein. Adam Brown was on the show of International Protein. They're going to have Brandon Ray at their booth at FedEx, so make sure you drop by the International Protein booth at FedEx. It's going to be massive. Mass Nutrition, they've got, I think, 40 stores, Luke McNally told me, around Australia and New Zealand now, which is absolutely massive. You can visit them on Facebook or visit their website, massnutrition.com.au. And, of course, Species Nutrition, the main sponsor of RX Muscle Australia. So, Scotty, for you and I this week, that's it. And stay tuned for our interviews of the week with Tony Doherty and Adam Browner. Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and athletics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make you think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Thermoburn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I'm joined by IFBB pro promoter, owner of Doherty's Gym, and the man basically behind FitX. I'm joined once again by Tony Doherty.
Hey Xavier and listeners, hello.
Mate, it's good to have you back on the show. We haven't spoken in a few weeks now, and there's been quite a few developments. I mean, the hype's kind of building up. We're only, you know, a couple of weeks now out of FitX, and we've got the Arnold Classic coming up just basically next week, so I mean, it's all kind of go for you at the moment, and I mean, you're probably the busiest man in bodybuilding in Australia at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, it'd be close.
Now, like, obviously, there's been a huge amount of news that's come out about FitX and all that kind of stuff. Now, I want to start with something that kind of came out, I think it was last week, that something you guys are doing where you basically, the 212 Pro Qualifier winner for the men and the Bikini Pro Qualifier winner for women, and also the top-ranking Australian bikini competitor in the pro show, are all going to get trips to New Zealand to compete in the New Zealand Pro the week following.
Yeah, look, good mate of mine, Mo Almasawi, is the IFBB president for New Zealand. He's running a pro show the week after mine, which I'm going over to run. Kim Manion's asked me to go over and help to run the show, which I'm really pleased to help out. He's doing a 212 division and a pro bikini division, and obviously, we're having our first 212 Pro qualifier here at FitX. And although that person that wins out will go into the open show, we don't have a 212 show. So Mo and I were talking, thought, well, he's got a 212 show the following week and obviously wants people in it. So let's just pay for our Pro qualifier winner to go in his first actual 212 Pro show while he's in shape. So the winner of that, whoever it is, I'll pay their – well, Mo and I will work on it together and we'll pay the flight over, accommodation, and really look after them. Then I got to thinking, well, he's got a bikini show on too, so whoever wins the pro bikini show should go over as well. So we announced that, and I thought, well, hang on a minute, that's not really fair on the Australian girls that are already competing that have their pro card, so let's do that as well. So a lot of people get trips overseas and stuff, and the promoters don't subsidise or help to pay or whatever else, and then it's very expensive for them. So we thought, well, let's give back a little bit and pay all the expenses for those three athletes to go and represent their country. Amanda and I will go over there with them and we'll have a little Aussie team go across, and I'm actually really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm actually excited to, you know, just see the – I'm pretty sure Dave Palumbo will be going to that show as well to cover it for RX Muscle. I think he will anyway. And that's going to be another great show. And it's good that we're going to have plenty of Aussies in there as well. I know Mike Debenham's doing it. I'm sure a few of these other bikini girls that are competing in the Australian Pro will go over, regardless of if they have a top ranking or not. But it's an exciting time, and I think this is kind of even more incentive for these 212 guys, which is stacking up to be an awesome, awesome class. You've got, you know, Adam Browner, you've got possibly David Cutler in that class, you've got Gary Wright, Mark Gretsch. It's going to be a really stacked class. I mean, Tony, yeah. Like you've been in this for a long time, and I know you probably don't want to do predictions, but what do you think about all these guys and how that class is kind of shaping up?
Oh, mate, I think it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited about it, Xavier. It was like, it's one of those things you never know how things are going to do. Like when I introduce new categories and new opportunities for people, I never know how they're going to go. So I kind of roll the dice a little bit and hope that they'll work. And this is one of those things that's really, really worked. And let me tell you the motivation behind it. Is that we don't have a 212 pro from Australia. And I thought it's going to be very hard for these guys like, you know, Gary Wright and Mark Gretsch and, you know, Dave Cutler and these guys to compete in the Open Pro qualifier against, you know, big monsters and to beat them. And therefore, if they don't and they can't beat these, you know, 120-kilo guys, well, then we'll never, ever have a 212 pro from Australia. And in the States, you know, everyone that wins their class at the Nationals, for example, and the USA gets a pro card, 65 kilo, 70, 75, 80, they all get a pro card. That's why the 212 division's really, really thriving. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to give these guys a different kind of chance and see if we can get some 212 pros competing. And then one day I'd love to have a 212 pro show in Australia because it's a really exciting division. So I've done it, and prediction-wise, man, it's going to be really tight. I mean, those guys you mentioned are all capable of winning. Yeah, Dave Cutler's been second in a couple of pro qualifiers against really big guys. We know he's going to bring his best condition. You know, Gary Wright, despite all the hype last year, probably didn't live up to it. And I reckon he went away licking his wounds and will come back a far better bodybuilder because of it. And then Mark Gretsch, mate, he improves every single show that he's in. And don't forget, he did very well at the Arnold Amateur just a couple of years back, and he's improved out of sight since, and he's kilos ahead of where he was at, and he can really grow into the show. You know, it's very, very exciting. Adam Browner, don't know whether he'll make the 212 or the Open. I reckon he'll be a borderline one. Yep. And then there's others, so it's really exciting.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely awesome. Now, one guy that was kind of rumored to be doing this show and yeah, we kind of put him on our radar as well, is Tony Sedardi. Now, you put up a post, I think it was a few days back now, kind of saying, you know, that someone, you know, kind of, I can't remember the exact words you used, but basically, you know, they were disrespectful and things like that in your gym, and basically you had to kick him out of your gym. And that was actually Tony. So what kind of happened there? Because I know everyone was kind of, you know, I mean, it went viral almost, that status, and I got messages from my mates saying, oh, who was it? Who was it? And eventually I think you just posted it up. But what actually happened there?
Well, first of all, it's got nothing to do with any IFBB competition or him doing a pro qualifier or not. He'd pulled out of it long before that because he didn't have the heart to diet for it. So unfortunately, Tony's one of those people that's got incredible genetics. And I mean, really incredible genetics. And I've actually promoted the hell out of him at last year's Nationals and, you know, when he was off to the Worlds and supported him enormously. And when I support someone, Xavier, I'm all in. So I take care of their membership, their tanning, their competition entry fees and a whole lot of stuff. When I sponsor someone, I do it pretty well. And I expect a certain level of diligence from those people. I like them to set an example in the gym where they train. And basically they should be a role model, not a mess maker. And he's a person who constantly just left his weights out and shit like that and basically talked down to some of the others. And when the staff would quiz him about it, he'd deny it and this and that. Anyway, I don't get into all the detail. At the end of the day, I asked him to behave better in the gym. He was a smart ass and denied having done it instead of being a man and saying, yeah, look, maybe I made a mistake. I left him out once. You know, what can I do to compensate? Can I go and help out with something around the gym or whatever? Mate, just had a bad attitude. And look, I get angry about some things. And when I do, I'm probably better off just to cut my ties before it ends badly. So I just told him to fuck off. And that was that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I like the no bullshit type attitude. And I mean, if people are being, you know, perhaps disrespectful or talking down to other members and stuff, I mean, that obviously affects their experience and stuff in the gym. And I think you took right action. I think a lot of people probably agree.
Look, I'll tell you something. You don't want to get ahead of yourself in life. There's always someone bigger, stronger, better, smarter, whatever. Me, you, everyone included. And when you perhaps think you're better than others and the same rules don't apply to you, then it's time to reevaluate yourself and have a good, long, hard look at yourself. And, mate, I have a zero-tolerance policy in my gyms with people leaving weights out and leaving it dangerous. I mean, if you or your missus wants to go and use a leg press and there's 10 plates on it, why should you have to unload them? It's just shit form. And I run it really, really tight shit. Probably what upsets me the most is that the pro bodybuilders that train here, the elite athletes that train here, the AFL guys, you know, right through to, you know, guys like Tiger Woods put their weights away. I mean, who the hell are you, Xavier Wills or Tony Sedati or anyone else, to say, no, I'm too good to do that. Someone else gets paid to do it. No, pack up after yourself. It's gym etiquette worldwide. Now, let me tell you something. The reason that message, that thing went viral, and in defense of Tony, look, we had a run-in. I told him, you know, to move on, and that's that. The reason it went viral is certainly not a personal attack on him. The reason it went viral is because people are fucking sick of it. All over Australia, people go, you know what? I've got schmucks like that in my gym that think they're too good and their shit doesn't stink and they shouldn't have to clean up after themselves because they've got big arms or whatever. Get over yourself. You know, like, the gym's our church. You know, this is what we do. It's for most people, it's a home away from home. And I say to people, you can have anything that's mine. You can borrow my, you know, my gloves, my belt, my bloody bands, anything you want. It's we're all in this together. You can do anything. Just put it back when you're finished. If you want to use my gym, whether you pay, don't pay, irrelevant, put it back, leave it how you found it. When we get a casual in, I say, hey, champ, you know the rule? They say, what's the rule? I say, pack your weights away when you're done. I tell every single person, they all know how it runs. And I think the backlash to that post was people all over the country saying, you know what, let's take a stand. We're sick of these people. So I said to people online, I said, go up and say something to them. Just go up and say, hey, why are you better than everyone else?
Yeah, and that's fair. I mean, that's fair enough.
It's great to be a champion, but always be a humble champion. That's what I say.
Yeah, and I love that kind of attitude. I mean, my gym where I train at, they sponsor me and I can train there for free and all that stuff. And to the owner, Kerry Wood, she has the exact same attitude as you towards it. She's, you know, she kind of gets sick of it and she doesn't put up with it. She doesn't put up with bullshit. So,
but you as a sponsored athlete, you should actually finish your workout and go around and have a bit of a tidy up for her because she's looking out for you. And most of my sponsored people do. So when someone continually does it, I'll tell you what pissed me off. All right, now you've asked, I'll tell you what pissed me off. Not the fact that he left his weights out, the fact that every single day he tried to see what he could get away with. Now, that's shit form. That makes you a shit bloke, and I don't want nothing to do with you. End of story.
Yeah, that's fair. That's definitely fair enough. And I'm actually pedantic about, like, which weights are on which stacks, because sometimes you'll see a 5 and then a 20 on top of a 5.
I hate that a fair bit, but leaving bench, you know, things loaded with all sorts of weight. Anyway. We could talk about that all day. If you're a gym goer, have some bloody manners, have some gym etiquette. If you come and train at my joint, you're going to be like that. Don't forget to duck. That's all.
I love it. Now, let's move on. Let's talk a bit about the pro show. Let's talk a bit about FitX and all that stuff. Now, the pro show lineup, we'll talk about the men's. I mean, this lineup is looking absolutely crazy. You've got the likes of Sean Roden. You've got Evan Centopani. You've got Jose Raymond. You've got, I'm trying to think off the top of my head. You've got David Henry. You've got
Branch Warren,
you've got Ed Nunn, you've got, more names there, I can't even remember. I'm just thinking off the top of my head, but it's absolutely stacked. Like, looking at the lineup, you got Luke Timms, obviously, the Aussie, you got Mike Debenham.
Rolly Winkler.
Yeah, Rolly, it's like, it just keeps going on.
This one, Dave Henry.
Yeah, Dave Henry, I mean, it's crazy. Like, it is an awesome lineup. And through the week, we kind of found out, well, me and Scotty found out anyway, that William Bonac is going to be competing. And this guy,
he's entered, he's signed his contract, he's in.
He's officially signed. I mean, when Scotty kind of mentioned it, mentioned to each other, we basically didn't know, we didn't think he was signed or anything like that, but he's 100% signed. And for people who don't know who William Bonac is, this guy is a freak. And he's like I think he's one of the upcoming guys that is going to be, you know, placing top three and possibly even winning pro shows in the future. So, I mean, this is a guy that will look very, I mean, he's kind of just a similar height, maybe slightly taller than these 212 guys, so he's going to look very comparable, I think, to guys like Dave Henry and Jose and stuff like that.
Yeah, mate, if he's built, I mean, he's like a little Kai Greene. He's really got incredible shape and balance. He's trained by Neil Hill, who's Flex Lewis's trainer. And check this out. I've got Flex Lewis guest posing a week after the Arnold. In contest shape, he'll probably be about 220. Do you know, I've never had a guest poser in 14 years of running the Australian Pro Grand Prix. I've never felt that anyone should guest pose at a show because everybody's in shape and it would almost be insulting to have an off-season guest pose, or even if he's Mr. Olympia guest pose. So coming off the Arnold Classic, you know, we've got the 212 Showdown Olympia champion, Flex Lewis, guest posing. And let me tell you, he's like someone's got Dorian Yates and pushed on him until he's a little bit shorter and wider and thicker and harder and grainier, and that's what Flex Lewis is. I'm telling you, it'll be the highlight of the show. The guy is an absolute freak and just a ripper bloke. I've said to you before, I really enjoy interviewing him, and I'm actually a big fan, and I'm rapt that he's agreed to guest post because he wouldn't normally do something like that when he's coming out to do an expo. So good on you, Flex Lewis.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see
Flex. Hey, check this out. I got an email yesterday from we've already got a cracking lineup. I got an email yesterday from Ben Pekowski saying, hey, I still might come and do your show. I'm 95% there. I'm just waiting to sort out a little visa thing I've got going on. If that all comes through, and it should have been done last week, book me a room. I'm coming. To use his exact quote, I'm 95% certain that I'm going to be there.
Wow, that's like, it's literally, Tony, this is like a top 10 that's stacked Australian Pro. It's almost like, I mean, it's probably just about better than last year's Arnold lineup, which is pretty crazy.
Yep, I'd agree with that. Yep.
It's absolutely incredible, and I can't wait to see if Ben Pekulski comes out. He's one we didn't see at the Olympia, so that's kind of, you know, it'd be really interesting to see what kind of improvements he's made. And just getting back to Flex Lewis, I mean, he's one of these guys that, you know, he's the 212 Mr. Olympia, and he's, I mean, there's always talk about him going into the Open, and there's actually a rumour going around, I don't know if it hasn't been confirmed by anyone as far as I know, that he's actually going to do the Open Olympia this year, I heard, next year.
No,
but yeah, that's what I thought, because there was, I think someone made it up and posted it all around, and there was posts everywhere on Facebook, but yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited to see him in the Open, and I mean, based on the gains he's made and, you know, taking away that weight restriction, where do you think he'll be able to place in terms of, you know, maybe an Open Olympia or some of these top pro shows?
I reckon he can mix it with anyone. I really rate the guy, and I'm a pretty hard judge, I tell you. He's one of those guys, when you see him live, you'll see what I'm talking about. Before someone starts rumours, it's sold out. And there's always plenty of tickets. It's a massive venue. You can get them at www.doherty'sgym.com, or you can call the gym here in Brunswick and get them over the phone if you don't trust the internet. And there'll be plenty available at the door. So that's on the Saturday night. The pre-judging is at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, and then the finals at 7 o'clock at night. And that's the finals for the Men's Pro, the Bikini Pro, and the Figure Pro, and, of course, Flex Lewis guest posing, and a couple of amazing announcements. We've got a message from Arnold. We've got all sorts of stuff, which you can only see at the Australian Pro Grand Prix, number 14.
Awesome. We can't wait for that. I mean, we actually saw, I don't know if we mentioned it last time when you was on the radio show, or if it's happened after, but you actually had, was it Bob Lorimer come out to Australia, and you was talking Arnold Classic and all that stuff?
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
So how did that go? I mean, in terms of, like, you know, obviously you guys want to bring that out to Australia at some point.
Yeah, look, it's the worst kept secret in the world, but I've actually gone into business with Bob and Arnold, and I'm not going to say when and where and the whole bit, but let me just say, in 2015, there will be an Arnold Classic Australia. It will be in Melbourne, and I will be promoting it.
Awesome. That's the kind of news I wanted to get out, Tony. I tried to just, without, you know, like, blowing it out of water and forcing you to say something.
I was going to keep it a secret till Arnold put it on his Facebook. Thanks, Arnold. Sorry, mate.
I actually saw that.
I'm going out to meet with Arnold at the Arnold Classic, going out there, obviously, with Amanda. She's competing in, we leave Tuesday week. So when this goes to air, it'll be a week before we go. And, you know, we're just going to get all that sorted, as in what month, what dates, and all that sort of thing. And I'll be coming back with a very special video message from the Governator. And just hold on to your hats, folks, because you reckon I'm busy and pumped and excitable now. What I'm working on is just going to – I can't even describe how I feel about it. It's going to be incredible. It's going to be huge. And, you know, this year's FedEx is going to be a massive celebration of what's to come.
Yeah, and I'm sitting here, Tony, I've got a big smile on my face, because I know when you say something like, when you're really excited for something like that, then I know it's going to be massive, and it's going to benefit, obviously, all the Australian bodybuilding and gym and fitness fans and all that stuff, because, I mean, FedEx is like, I mean, it's awesome. Like, I love it at the moment, but obviously, if you bring the Arnold out and, you're excited further on what you're already doing, then it's going to be absolutely huge.
Wait and see. Watch that space, brothers. I'm telling you.
Awesome. Now, obviously, FedEx this year. I mean, what's the kind of? I mean, what's happening with FedEx? I mean, I saw actually on the FedEx Facebook page that Lane Norton's doing super gym sessions for $50. I think Daylen Bailey and Chris Gethin are doing $50 super gym sessions, and Ronnie Coleman's doing $30 super gym sessions.
Plus the prices on all the sessions, because obviously we really want to get them packed out and pumped. And yeah, we had some realities of having to meet budgets before we could discount to pay for the enormous cost of setting up it's $100,000 super gym with indoor grandstands and lighting and sound. And it's like nothing we've ever seen. It'll be a separate area. And you can go in there and see these guys train. So, for example, Ronnie's doing one session of arms, one of back. He might say, okay, I'm going to pick someone from the audience to come down and do arms with Uncle Ron. And he'll take them through a workout, describe everything of how he built his arms and how hard you have to train, a little bit of Ronnie philosophy along the way. And yeah, that's cheap. And then, yeah, the one that I reckon you've got to get onto if you're a bodybuilding nut is the Flex Lewis session. Yeah, that's on Sunday. Check the FedEx website. I think it's 12:15 on Sunday. That's only $40. Now, some of the guys had overpriced themselves, and Flex from the day one said, I want to call it giving back to the fans. Let's make it $40 so everyone can afford to come and hear it. And let me tell you, when you hear this guy speak, you'll walk out of there so pumped up and so motivated. I've said to you before, Xavier, when I do the interviews backstage at the Olympia, he's my favourite interview because he's just so passionate and so humble. And it's just a little bit of all of us in Flex Lewis because he's not an American. You know, he's a kid from Wales that really, really made it big time. And you want to talk about self-belief, he'll talk to you. You look you straight in the eye and tell you that you have to believe in yourself and you have to take a risk and you have to work hard. And he'll show you how he does work hard and share his philosophy and basically show you how he trains. He's going to be incredible. Yeah, the Daylen Bailey one, she's the most popular female in our industry on the planet. She's got like a million followers. That's been our fastest selling session. She's been happy to reduce her price so people can afford to pack the joint out. And I know we've got a bunch of people come over from Perth to see her and all over Australia. She'll be in with bodybuilding.com's Chris Gethin. He's also doing a session with Neil Hill. And Neil Hill, obviously, is the trainer of Flex Lewis and a number of others. And those three Welsh boys, Chris Gethin, Neil Hill, and Flex Lewis, you know, they're all from little towns in Wales and they've really taken the bodybuilding world to pieces. So they're all very, very exciting. We've got Charles Poliquin in there, the world's greatest strength coach, doing, you know, half-day sessions on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. As you said, Lane Norton. And on Sunday, we've just announced everybody's favourite, Larissa Reese, is teaming up with Amanda Doherty. And two of the sexiest women in the sport are going to take you through, for the ladies and the guys, but taking through like a glute and hamstring workout and a way of basically adapting gym equipment to invent exercise to suit your own body. So they're going to show you, they've both got some really quirky movements and stuff that develop those glutes and legs the way they do and their whole bodies. And they're going to take you through a cracking session, a live workout in the super gym, and that's only $25, ladies. So all of those sessions can be booked through the FedEx website. You just go fedex.com.au/tickets and just start the process, and you'll see all the different seminars and sessions that you can do.
Well, that's so super, much on, super cheap. $25 is nothing.
Yeah, and there'll be tickets available on the weekend, but save queuing up and all that sort of baloney. Just get online and get your tickets organized and just get it on.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely awesome. And, I mean, the Super Gym is a brilliant, brilliant idea. I love it. Now, Generation Iron, that is going to be premiering in conjunction with FedEx, and it's going to be at Hoyt's Cinema. I think it's on – is it Thursday and Saturday night?
Thursday and Sunday night. It's on. I've booked an auditorium at FedEx called the Clarendon Auditorium, which is part of the Melbourne Convention Exhibition Centre. You know where we have the expo?
Yep.
If you go from the door to the expo and go left down towards the casino, right at that end, there's an auditorium in there, a film auditorium. So we've booked it out for it's Thursday night and Sunday night near the world premieres. And I'll be doing a question and answer segment with Branch Warren, one of the stars of the show, before the screening. Then it'll be a live screening. And then same on Sunday night after the expo at 6 o'clock. We've got session number two if you can't be here for Thursday. A lot of the interstate people, so we can't be there for Thursday. So we'll come Sunday night. And then for the VIP ticket holders, every VIP ticket holder gets a free session on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. in the same spot. then a week later it goes to all the Hoyt cinemas Australia-wide. So it's going to be huge. We've got into mainstream cinemas. I've actually partnered up with the Australian distributor, which is Madman Entertainment, and we've managed to get it into Hoyt's, and obviously to have the Australian premiere at FIDEX. I'm stoked about it. It's a really fantastic film, big budget, great pictures, great story. And, of course, it's, you know, Phil Heath versus Kai Green, you know, Branch Warren versus Ben Pekowski. And, in fact, Ben Pekowski versus everyone because he puts shit on everyone and gets right into it. It's like, you know, the science angle versus the gritty meathead angle. And they've filmed it beautifully. You know, there's a shot of Phil Heath running up this hill in Denver, I think, or some California, wherever. And if you, you know, helicopters and everything, you get two shots from different helicopters. And, you know, you go back to the producers of Pumping Iron, just how far it's come with cinematography and all that sort of thing. But it's a cracking story, and I reckon you'll really like it. This film is the reason why Kai Greene's the most popular bodybuilder in the world. When you see this, you'll see what I mean. So get along to Generation Iron. Once again, you can get tickets online at fidex.com.au/tickets, and you'll see a Gen Iron tab. Just click on that, and it's pretty basic.
Awesome. And I'm going to be wanting to video absolutely everything this weekend, like the FIDEX weekend, Tony. I mean, we're going to have, you know, myself, Michael Galley, Joseph Bender. We're going to have a massive crew there, and we're going to be going around interviewing everyone at their booths. I mean, I've set up with a lot of the international athletes, a lot of the Australian athletes, interviews and stuff, and it's going to be massive. And if I can sneak into that Generation Iron, you know, Sunday night one or something, and video yourself and Branch Warren doing kind of the pre-show type thing, that would be awesome.
We'll find a way to get you in there, Xavier. But it's a really good film. So everyone's been anticipating it, so we can't download it. You know, it's not on Pirate Bay or anything. They've done a fantastic job of keeping it off all the torrent sites. But Jesus, spend $25 and go and see an absolute cracking movie. You'll remember it for the rest of your life. It really is that good. And the best bit is I'm in it.
Yeah, exactly. I remember you telling me.
Until the Los Angeles premiere, one of my mates texted me from over there and go, "Hey, you know you're in this?" I said, "Well, no, I didn't. I knew I was backstage, but I didn't know I made the final cut." So that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Only a tiny appearance, but when Phil Heath comes off stage after winning, I'm the first person he sort of talks to and hangs out with. So that's pretty cool.
Exactly. And that's something that this is like going to be a movie, I think, that people will watch, you know, 10 years, 20 years down the track. And you know, there might be more movies since then, but it's going to be one that people look back on, like Pumping Iron and the other, you know, maybe like Ronnie Coleman's The Incredible or whatever his video was called. But
absolutely, yeah. It's big budget stuff. It's great.
Exactly. But obviously, you know, you and Amanda, you know, super, super busy at the moment. Amanda's prepping for her first Arnold Classic in many, many years now. Like, she competed back, when was the last Arnold Classic? It was early 2000s, wasn't it?
2003.
11 years ago, which is pretty incredible, which is going to be back. And she competed even before that, in the 90s, in the Arnold Classic. Now, I mean, how is she going? Is she super, super excited for it?
So I lost you for a second. Then I got up until 90s Arnold Classic. What did you say after that?
I'll just cut this a little bit out, but I'll just start that again. All right, 3, 2, 1. Now, she competed, you know, like, you know, it's 11 years ago now in the Arnold Classic, and then obviously she competed in the 90s in the Arnold Classic, which is incredible, which is competing in 2014. Now, how excited is she for the, you know, this comeback to the Arnold Classic?
Yeah, well, she's really excited, but I think because, well, a couple of reasons. One, that she's honestly in the shape of her life, and I think she's finally really happy with how she looks. She knows that she's in cracking shape, and she's not predicting any great outcome. It's really difficult with international shows, especially one like that, to know how the call-outs are going to be. So all you can do is be your best. And she's absolutely at her best. She's got a groundswell of support from, you know, people all over Australia, and that's where social media is fantastic for her, because she's got so many followers on, you know, Instagram and Facebook and stuff that send her messages of support every single day. And it's really, really awesome. People here in the gym and the girls that she trains, she's got a whole team really behind her. She's just really, really proud of, not proud of her achievements. She's not like this. She's proud of being able to represent all the people that go to the gym and all the mums that have got back in shape after having kids and all the busy people that have to juggle a life. And she's kind of like the champion for all those people. You know, she really revels in her role to those people, and I think that's what means the most to her, is the fact that she can inspire lots of others. And, you know, mate, some of the mums that have got into shape after seeing her, it's just incredible. And you know, I'm really, really proud of her, really excited for her, and I can't wait to see her up on that stage, just being the best she can be, and then coming back out here for FedEx, obviously, to compete in the Australian Pro Grand Prix in front of her home crowd, and, you know, the kids get to see her compete, and all of her, you know, fans and friends here that haven't seen her, and it's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, what are you like when you watch Amanda compete? I mean, do you get as nervous or more nervous than she does?
Yeah, I kind of. It's a funny one because when I'm like when it's my show, I don't because I'm just too busy fucking running everything and my mind's just doing a billion things. So I announce her like any other competitor. But when I go see her compete overseas, like at the Shiru Classic or at Sacramento last year or at the Arnold, yeah, I do get really nervous is the right word, but something like that. Yeah, I just get really. You know, just hope she's going to get a good call out. I'm just like, I guess, any other husband or trainer or support crew, you know, just hoping they get a good, fair call out and hoping all their prep's gone well and everything pays off. And just, you know, feel every single move. It's really funny, like, women in the States last year, she was competing, but I just don't take my eyes off her the whole time she's on stage. So someone else will get called out and I'm watching her and watching her mannerisms and watching how she walks and, you know, and just, I guess, a sense of pride and love and relief and, all that stuff is just, it's just something else. So I'm really looking forward to it. But man, I'm just proud of her. It's like she's got to beat a lot of odds. And a lot of people, you know, like not people in our industry because they get it, but, you know, the mums at school or kinder or that be like, oh, yeah, you're lucky you've got a gym. Fuck.
Yeah. It's just.
You've got a husband who works 18 hours a day that's never home. You've got four kids who need their mum. So how do you do it? You get out of bed at 4 a.m. Her alarm goes off at 4 a.m. every morning. She gets up. She does an hour on the bike. You know, she preps her food. She comes down to the gym by 5:15, trains till 6:30 so we can do a swap over and I can come in at 6:30. And then she's a normal mum. She's going to get four lots of lunches ready for the kids and, you know, clean the house and then come back and train her clients and, you know, do all that sort of stuff, do all her online stuff, and then pick up the kids from school, do it all again, have dinner ready for herself, dinner ready for the kids, dinner ready for me whenever I get home. And, you know, it's a team effort, but man, it's sure ain't easy, but she goes to bed pretty early. She never crashed by about 9.
Yeah, well, imagine getting up at 4 a.m., Jesus. But, I mean, like, Arnold Classic, obviously you're going to be over there. You're probably going to see all the men's stuff and things like that. Who have you, I mean, do you have any predictions? Because you got like, you know, it's an Arnold Classic where there's probably five or so guys that could potentially win it. You got Dennis Wolf, you got Sean Roden, you got Rolly Winkler.
I read Roden and Wolf.
Yep, that's what a lot of people were saying. Who do you have? I mean, if you had to pick one or the other, who would you have winning?
I understand it. Who's going to look better on the day, you know? If Wolf absolutely nails it like he did at the pre-judging of the Olympia, by virtue of the fact that he was third at the Olympia, then he would be in a better position. But I really rate Sean Roden's physique, and he seems to improve every comp, whereas Dennis, you know, he's been a bit hit and miss over the years. Like, when he's on, he's incredible, but he's only got to be a little bit off to be a lot off, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, Dennis, he can be really conditioned, but then sometimes he can lack that roundness and fullness and stuff, but he seemed to nail that kind of at the Olympia.
Well, he seems to have got his formula right, and Roden, man, he's improved every time I've seen him. So if he improves just a little bit, I think he's really the one to watch. But then he can't ride off Branch, you know? Who knows what he's going to look like? And then you look at Rolly and think, geez, for freak value, if he's harder than he was at the Olympia, he can push all of them as well. So, and then you've got this bloody mad dog, Ben Pekowski. I mean, his most muscular front lat spread's as good as anyone in the sport. He's got the best legs in the business. You know, what he lacks in back development, he makes up for in a whole lot of other areas. He can push those guys as well. He hasn't got the prettiest physique, but, you know, the Arnold Classic's not always been the prettiest physique win. So, you know, Branch has won it twice, and he's just freak value number 10.
Yeah.
I'm feeling Branch will be back in pretty good nick. I don't think he's going to show up like he did at the Olympia. He's back with his old trainer, and I've spoken to him fairly regularly, and seems to have a quiet confidence about him. But, man, bodybuilding, you know, you're talking about six guys out of the top 10 in the world. They are all capable of winning it. You know, Evan Santopani, don't write him off. If he's made those improvements that everyone says, don't forget he's timed his shows really well. He normally goes and shows that he can win. You know, I wouldn't be writing him off earlier. So any of those guys we've mentioned could get up and win it.
Yeah, and I think there's one more guy that has an outside chance if he can really nail it. He's Cedric McMillan as well, because there's pictures that came out of him. He put up a few pictures of his hamstrings, and they were looking the hardest I've ever seen them. So, I mean, there's a group, like I said, about, you know, four or five, but it's probably more like about six or seven that could actually potentially win the show.
Cedric's a guy who's just not lived up to his potential or hype.
But yeah.
If he gets it together and gets absolutely peeled, I mean, that's been his problem the last couple of shows. He's just been soft. And look at the structure when they're standing relaxed and go, hey, that guy's not winning. But when he hits his shots, he's going to be peeled. And, you know, he's a very competitive guy. He might come in the shape of his life. If he does, you're dead right. There's another one.
Yeah. Now, I mean, Tony, you do all this work. You're, like you said, you're working ridiculous hours at the moment. Have you got anything planned post-VidX to have like a little bit of time off? Do you have any holidays or anything like that planned?
No. not really. I'm going to try and get away with Jess, with my son. We always go somewhere and see some sporting event, but I always end up going to an expo somewhere in the world. So I might go to FIBO in Germany, or I might just go to Spain with him and catch a soccer game or something. But apart from that, I'm going to go to the Arnold Classic in Rio in Brazil, and then I'm going to go back to – I'm going to try and get to Jim Mannion's Pittsburgh Pro, and then come home, and then it's pretty much full steam ahead, getting ready for next year. So I haven't got a whole lot of plans to holiday, but I've got a few work trips. So I'll get to go to Rio, I'll get to go to the States two or three times this year, and then back for the Olympia. And I'll probably go to Body Power in England again. So, no, I don't intend to rest. With what I've got planned for next year, I think I'm going to have to work.
Yeah, for sure.
65 days straight.
Yep. So, yeah, you're just going right through this year. And I'm sure it sounds like you're really driven to, I suppose, you know, achieve what you want to achieve in terms of this Arnold Classic that's going to be here next year. And, I mean, Tony, one question I want to ask. Obviously, if the Arnold Classic is coming to Australia, will there be an Arnold amateur attached to that?
I'll announce everything at FIDEX.
That's fair enough. Now, how...
Look, truth is, there's quite a few things that have got to be sorted out logistically with all sorts of things. So I'd be speaking out of school to say anything just yet. So just hang in there. I've given you enough for one day, Xavier. You've got more than anyone else. So
yes, you've given us bloody plenty. So
far. Look, I'll just tell you something. And this is not about me. It's just about us working together to create a better product in Australia. But and I feel like I'm, although I'm the leader of the team, I also feel like I'm part of a massive team. And it's not just the people that work for me or that work for me. It's the fans that support it, media like yourself. And everyone that wants this to be is part of, on a really deep level, part of the team that promotes it, if that makes sense to you. Like, what drives me and makes me work 18 hours a day is a message of support and encouragement and excitement that I get from the fans and the people who do appreciate what I do. But let me tell you something. When I went to open my first 24-hour gym, everybody said, and people that I really loved and respected you know, they all said the same thing, oh, this is going to fail. This can't work. You know, apart from Amanda and my dad, you know, pretty much everybody wrote me off and said, no, this can't work. It'll fail. You know, you're an imbecile, you can't do it, all that, not an imbecile, you know what I mean. Yeah. And then when I did the first Australian Pro, and you know, now we've got 5 24-hour gyms, it's probably one of the better recognised brands in the world, in the gym world, not in the world, there ain't no Pepsi. but then when I went to do the first Australian Pro Grand Prix, once again, the naysayers tried to talk me down. They said, you can't do it, it's going to fail. It'll never work in Australia. You're going to lose all your money. Boo-hoo. Who are you to think you can do this? And you know what? Now it's the third longest running pro show in the world. And as you said last time, probably outside the Olympia and Arnold, we get the best lineups in the world, bar none. So that says something. And when I went to do FIDEX, you know, the same voices. This is going to fail. You're going to lose everything. It can't work. Who are you? And all that. You know. So I've sort of learnt that normally when people really get on my nuts about something, say that I'm going to fail, I really, really dig in and become relentless. And with this Arnold thing, I'm sure there's people are going to write that off too. So it can't be done. You'll fail. You'll fail miserably. Well, let me just tell you, that just makes me raise the bar. And if I've got to work 365 days straight and have no time off and give up everything I've got to make this work, I will. I won't quit. I'll do it for all of you out there, and just appreciate any help and support and encouragement you can give me, because this is going to be massive, and I will not quit.
Awesome, Tony. That's encouraging. So hearing something like that to me is encouraging, obviously being in the same industry and being from obviously the same industry in Australia as well, where we can work together and things like that. I mean, when I hear like how hard you work, and you know, like you guys like Dave Palumbo as well, and other people that are in the industry that are hard workers that love the sport and do all that kind of stuff, that's super motivating for me, and it should be motivating to anyone, I suppose, in business or in bodybuilding. I mean, it's just something that hearing stuff like that, it drives me, and I'm sure should drive a lot of other people as well.
Well, I'll just tell you something. To all the listeners, all the people that do give me support, I will answer every single one of your emails. I'll answer every single one of your Facebook messages. I'll answer every single one of your phone calls. Might not be the same day, but I will respond to every single one of you. Any feedback you've got, any issues you've got, any encouragement you've got, anything, just hit me up. Even if I can just help to motivate you to be a better version of yourself, let's just tap into this great force we've got and stick together and see where it takes us.
Awesome. Now, just before we go, how's Fitness Management Australia and obviously the Doherty's gym chains going?
Everything's pumping, man. It's we're just packing as much into everything as we can. We've had some real good wins with Fitness Management Australia, with people getting on commercials. In fact, Amy Fox is coming over to see me this weekend, so by the time this airs, she'll be here. But she's just had an extension put onto that Five Seeds ad, and that's gone even further. With more ads and more cinemas and more billboards and all the rest of it. So another big payday for her, so congratulations to her. We've had some really good athletes signing up. Renee Smith just signed up with Platinum Labs this week. Amanda's just re-signed with Max's Maxines. Pardon me. And a whole lot of others. Mark Grex just signed on with International Protein, along with Chris Smith and other. Actually, I don't manage him, but I know he signed on. So good luck to all of those athletes that are getting sponsorships. We've got heaps of people working booths at FitX with Fitness Management Australia. Fitness Management Australia will be at FitX promoting both our cause and also the Arnold Classic for 2015, and all of that will become relevant when you get there. And Doherty's Gyms, well, they're just kicking along nicely. And, if you're coming to Melbourne for FitX, if you're in town, yeah, we're always open, as in we never close. Casuals are always welcome. And, we try and provide a good, interesting and motivating vibe when you come to the gyms, but put your weights back.
Yeah, and what I love about Doherty's gym is too, you don't charge like $35 for a casual or something like that. You know what I mean? And it's a good gym too.
Yeah. You got to, make it affordable, people will come. We're having a ball. Mate, I love what I do and enjoy it every single day. Can't wait to get out of bed and do it all again. And, at the end of the day, man, I'm just a gym rat. So the gym's the most important part of my balance. I get to hang out at the gym all day. My office are in the gym and, I can't sit at the desk all day. So I just get up and walk through the gym probably 10 times a day at least, and just talk to the members and hang out and give them a bit of encouragement and watch them all, doing their thing. And it just makes me tick. I love it.
Awesome, Tony. I absolutely love it. Now, I encourage everyone that is in Melbourne or even not in Melbourne, actually, it's not too late to book flights and accommodation and things like that, to check out the FitX website, check out the FitX on Facebook as well. I think it's like FitX Sports and Fitness Expo or something along those lines on Facebook. You'll be able to find it if you search for that, and get your tickets for the pro show and all that stuff, because it's not going to be one to be missed, because there are so many people not only going to be on stage in the pro show, but just walk around the expo. And we're going to have 6 new Aussie pros, so that's absolutely amazing, and I know I can't wait for it as a competitor, as a spectator, and also as a media guy. So it's going to be absolutely amazing.
So there's a lot of stars at FitX this year that are just coming out to support the expo. Rich Piana, Oksana Grishina, Fred Smalls, Dave Palumbo. It just goes on and on and on. They're just coming out of the woodwork at the moment. We're signing up more and more each day. They're going to be there. They're going to be on the booth. They're going to be there supporting some of the coaches, some of the gurus, some of the media people, but heaps of superstar athletes, and I've still got more to announce. So keep checking back to the Facebook page where we make the announcements, and get over. Enjoy it. Most of all, spread the word, have fun, and thanks for your time.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Tony, for taking time out of your day. I know you're a busy, busy guy. That's Tony Doherty, IFB pro promoter, owner of Doherty's Gym, and the man behind FitX.
ThermoBurn Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and 3-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are 5 key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them, because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip. Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. This week I am joined by the 2011 IFBB Under 85 Mr. Australia and another guy who's going to be doing the 212 IFBB FedEx Pro Qualifier
in March in only just a couple of weeks now. I'm pleased to welcome Adam Browner back to Aussie Muscle Radio.
Hey, Zabs. Thanks for having me back.
No worries, mate. Now, you're coming into this show. I mean, the 212 has been pretty stacked. I mean, we've had a couple of names kind of, or one or two names pull out. One of them's kind of definitely pulled out. One of them's kind of umming and ahhing whether they're going to pull out or not. Now,
it's... Who guys that have pulled out? I want to know.
I think Tony Sedati's pulled out, and someone told me Peter Wall had, but I'm not sure on that one, so okay. I have to wait and get confirmation on that one. But now, you're coming into the show almost as like, you know, a lot of people were saying... David Cutler, after I interviewed him, he said he'd like to make the 212. You know, whether that will happen or not kind of remains to be seen because he's on the limit, you know, the last few years, I think, of that weight. But, you know, we've had Gary Wright. We've had talk of him. A lot of hype around him just lately with a few pictures being put out and things like that. And Mark Gretsch, you know, he's obviously has a pretty big following and stuff, so he's going to get a bit of notoriety. And then there's a few other guys that are kind of on the limit. You've got Chris Jenkins and stuff like that that could possibly suck it down and try to do 212s and that. Now, you're kind of, I mean, you put yourself out there a little bit, but you're kind of coming in almost as like a dark horse, and people don't know what to expect from you because you haven't competed, like you said, since 2011, which is quite a long time. I mean, do you like that kind of tag, being the dark horse coming into the show?
You know, I'm in, I guess, two minds about it. I think it's sometimes it's nice to have a following and have people backing you, and then at the same time, when people are following you and when people are backing you, you have that level of expectation that you feel that you need to meet. So there's pros and cons with everything. For me, I've really tried to block out all outside kind of any kind of outside, how do I put it?
Distractions.
Yeah, exactly, and just try to stay away from all the politics of it, and just try to get my job done every day. You know, there's prep is so it's so taxing mentally. If you let too much from the outside world, you know, affect what you do during the day, I think that can only have a negative effect on you. Unfortunately, you can't get too caught up in what everyone else has to say, because it doesn't matter who you are. If you're Phil Heath, if you're Kai Greene, whoever you are, people are going to say you're the best. People are also going to say they don't like you and they don't feel that you have a chance. So you just don't listen to anybody. You walk on stage, you present the best you that you can, and if you are the best on the day, the judges will reward you with first place.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing as well, because we all like, you know, we all kind of have our picks in our head of who we think will win. Like obviously, you're probably predicting yourself, I'm sure, because obviously you got into this show, you want your IFBB pro card. But, you know, I have my picks in my head who I think, you know, has X percent amount of chance of winning, and this person has an X amount percent chance of winning and things like that. And we're so easily swayed now with, you know, online through Facebook and stuff. People can put up a post and say, this person's looking crazy, blah, blah, blah. And that will totally kind of sway your opinion. But in the end, that's not going to change what happens on stage, I guess. So, you know, in the last, you know, few weeks for me, I've changed, you know, my pick for the Open Pro qualifier, and I've kind of been umming and ahhing about the 212 and stuff like that. So, like you said, it's smart not to let that play on your mind. But, I mean, does it ever kind of, you know, because you're on social media and stuff, do you ever see pictures and do you ever get intrigued to see what someone else is looking like? Or is that just something that you try to block out as much as possible?
Honestly, I can't say that I don't look at other people's photos if they post them online, but I think it's very easy to take 50 selfies, to put it on a photo editing application and make yourself look pretty good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if you read too much into it and if you take too much note, you're just going to stress yourself out for no reason. In the end, The best way to look at it is you look at how someone looked when they were last on stage and think, okay, well, they've had a year to grow and they've had a year to improve. So what's humanly possible to do in 1 year's work? And if someone, you know, if someone looks like they've probably put on 10 kilos in 1 year, then I think the photo is doing them a little bit of favors, because as we all know, I don't think 10 kilos of muscle mass is possible in 1 year. But if they've had 3 years off and it looks like they've put on 10 kilos, then you can say, well, you know, that's possible, because about 3 kilos a year is what you'd expect if you were perfect every day for 3 years. That's about what you should be able to put on of quality muscle mass. So, you know, you can look at people's photos, but you have to be smart when you look at them as well, and really don't take too much on board if someone puts up a photo and, you know, they look crazy, because they might have been sitting in the sun for half an hour and it's brought out all the veins and it's dried them out a little bit, and then they've walked in front of a mirror, they've adjusted the light, and, you know, they've done their little mini photo shoot, and then they've edited the image further, and all of a sudden they look like an absolute freak. But then they walk out on stage and it's like, oh, that wasn't the guy in the photo. So, yeah, I think that, yeah, it's easy to look at photos and go, wow, that guy looks amazing. But you know what? It's only going to matter come the day of the show. Yeah, when all the clothes come off and we start tanning up backstage, that's when, you know, we'll know who's going to win and who's not.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a great way to look at it as well, because, like you said, I mean, I've seen some pretty, I've actually seen a girl, and I've seen it with a guy as well, that have competed, and I saw a girl compete, and she, you know, not being mean to her, but she didn't look very good on stage at all. And then she went into the bathroom and took a selfie of a, you know, an up angle at a, you know, different lighting and all this stuff, and she looked phenomenal. So it was like, is that the same person? Is this a different date and stuff like that? So you can do some pretty good things with, but, like, you know, with iPhones and stuff these days.
Yeah, I think half the guys and girls in our industry has taken mini photography classes as well.
Yeah, but you can imagine how many actual selfies and stuff would be on their phones. It would be just jammed, I imagine. But now you've actually, I mean, you haven't been one that's put up, I haven't seen any, you know, full body shots of you or anything like that leading up to this show. I've seen a few little, like, sneaky shots and stuff like that, which has people wondering. I mean, you know, like, I see these and go, oh, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing, like, what you look like, you know, full, you know, posing and, you know, shirt off, all that kind of stuff. But, I mean,
see that in 2.5 weeks, right?
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it lends people to think, like, oh, is that because he's not looking how he wants to look? Is that because, you know, he's just trying to create some intrigue and stuff like that? Is this, like, a tactic you're using for any reason or anything like that?
There's no tactics at all. What it comes down to is it's just who I am. I don't train in a singlet in the gym. I never have. I have always stayed completely covered up, no matter if I'm off season, you know, and a little bit soft, or if I'm 3 weeks out from competition. For me, it doesn't change. And the only reason why I posted, you know, a couple of, you know, like you said, something that intrigues people a little bit is just for the social media hype of it, I guess, because, you know, everyone wants to have some kind of following coming into this show. So, yeah, it's just not in my nature to stand there and say, okay, well, this is how I'm looking, because for me, you put in all of this work for the amount of time that you train and prepare for a show, and it's an unveiling. It is... an unveiling of everything that you have done since you competed last. And if you are constantly showing how you look coming into the show, then it's not really a surprise to anybody, because people say, I've kind of seen how he looks, I kind of know what to expect. But if you want that wow factor when you walk out on stage, because no one knows how you look, then that's only going to be achieved by people having no idea how you're going to look. And you're stepping out on stage and you're at your best, and that's when you can really show everybody, you know, the work that you've put in. So, yeah, it's nothing to do with tactics. It's just, I guess, how I look at the sport and how I want to be perceived, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. But you competed, obviously, 2011. It was a fair while ago now. Is there something that you've, like, really wanted to work on about amount of time? Like, is there something, like, do you have a most improved body part from there? Because, I mean, from what I've seen and stuff like that in, you know, just some pictures and stuff, where you're reasonably covered up, but you look like you've added an absolute shitload of muscle. Is there something you've really worked on and really improved?
Well, look, I had a chat with some of the judges when I finished competing last time in 2011, and I think it's always good to take on board what they say to move forward in the future, because, you know, they are... they are professionals of what they do, and you know, their job is to critique your physique at, you know, at the highest level. And the guidance that I got was basically saying that there's nothing that was too weak besides probably some lower back development, and my lats were quite highly inserted. It was more about growing into my own body, meaning that I just needed to put mass on everywhere. So I didn't really train anything harder than anything else. It was just a matter of making everything evenly bigger. I did really work on making my lower back thicker, my lats. You know, obviously there's only so much you can do with genetics if you've got high insertion on your lats, but it was one thing I was obsessed with for a little bit, and you know, I think that I have improved that area, but everything else, you know, was just a matter of, was because I guess my symmetry was quite good last time I competed, it was just a matter of growing everything evenly.
Yeah, and that's something that I've talked to people about, and they've wondered, they're like saying, you know, Adam's added a ton of size, will he keep his symmetry, will he keep his lines and all that kind of stuff? Do you think you've been able to maintain all your lines and symmetry and balance and stuff like that you had last time? Because I remember seeing pictures of you when you first competed in, I believe you first competed in 2011, unless you did a few shows before that, but I remember seeing these photos and I was like, wow, this dude has a killer physique, awesome shapes and all that stuff. Has that been something that's been maintained?
I'll tell you what my opinion of that is. With the added size I've put on, everything looks better. I think that my shape now looks more symmetrical, and everything looks rounder, and the way that, you know, it should more like a bodybuilder than I did last time. So I only think that everything I've done has improved on the way that my physique is set up.
Yeah, yeah. That's going to excite a lot of people because, I mean, there's a few guys that, I mean, have done that, but it seems to go one or two ways when guys add muscle. They seem to, you know, add muscle and it improves their symmetry and their shape and stuff, and there's guys that tend to add muscle and it just isn't added properly and it just doesn't look right. So I think that will excite a lot of people to hear that because, you know, it is disappointing when you see someone who adds, you know, a decent amount of muscle, but it's added all wrong and they kind of can't go back on that.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. It's, and it really comes down to as soon as you make up your mind to say, okay, now it's grow time. Now I need to start putting size on. It's not just about getting in the gym and just growing from wherever is possible. This sport is such an art. It is a matter of sitting down with, you know, whether it be yourself or your coach or, you know, your mentor or whoever, and saying, how are we going to go about creating the most symmetrical, most aesthetically pleasing physique while we grow, while we put on size? So yeah, I totally agree with you. It is disappointing to see sometimes when people have a really, really nice physique and then they go away and they understand they need to grow and they come back and it's like, oh, you haven't done it right. But that is what separates a good bodybuilder from a great bodybuilder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm kind of trying to nut out. I mean, I guess I'm trying to get out to the listeners what you're kind of looking like without seeing pictures, because I don't think we're going to see any pictures from you full body or anything before you actually compete on that, either that 212 pro qualifier stage or possibly even the Open. Now, is there a physique in the IFBB pro ranks, you know, either in the 212s or the Opens, that you would best compare yourself to? Maybe you're not at that level yet, but is there a physique where you say, okay, my shapes are similar to his, perhaps my, you know, I've got similar, you know, strengths and weaknesses and stuff like that, or do you not do that at all?
No, I don't think I really look like anyone, because I find it hard to compare myself to a pro, because I don't feel that I am at that level. I don't think I'm at that size of those. You know, you look at these guys that we're talking, the top 15, 20 guys in the world, they're so much bigger than I am. So I find it hard to put myself and say, well, yeah, I would compare to him. I don't think that's fair on them. The only thing that I can say is that I believe that my muscle bellies and my insertions are very pro-like. So I have very round muscle bellies. My shape is very, very round. So, you know, anyone that you look at that has those, you know, those round full muscles, you can say, oh, well, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the way that I look. But in terms of one particular pro, I don't think that I look like anyone really.
Yep. Now, at this point of your prep, we're sub three weeks out now. Where's your conditioning at, and do you feel like you're on target to nail your conditioning? Because I know you're before the interview, we spoke about what weight you was at and stuff like that, and it's not going to be particularly easy to get to that 212 mark for you. So you've obviously added a ton of size, going from under 85 to struggling to make the 212 class. Is your conditioning on target for the moment?
Yeah, my conditioning will be. I'm not going to be ready early, but I'll be ready on the day.
Awesome.
It'll really push me to bust my ass for the next 2 weeks and 5 days. But it'll be ready. My upper body's pretty much where it needs to be at. Legs always come in late for me because when you're doing lots of cardio and I train legs twice a week, I find that my legs stay quite fluidy. As soon as we back that off a little bit, and some of the water starts to come out, they harden up within a few days. It's going to be on time. It's timed nicely. I don't like to be ready too early because I sit there and I stress out about holding conditions. So I'm in a good frame of mind of where I'm at this point. I know what I have to do every day. I've got tasks from my morning cardio to my training to my posing to cardio after training. So I have things I tick off every day. I'm taking one meal at a time and one posing session at a time, and just making sure that everything that I do on a daily basis is 100%. It doesn't matter if I'm tired. It doesn't matter if I feel like shit, whatever the case may be. Every one of those tasks has to be done at 100% from now till the show. And if that's the way that, I can get through the next 2 weeks and 5 days, then we'll be right. We'll be in good condition.
Yeah. So you mentioned the kind of the mental aspect and, what you have to do to get through, and you said you take one meal at a time and things like that. Are you someone that you think possibly struggles mentally with the whole contest prep? Because I haven't really been asking this question to many competitors because I haven't been competing myself, but obviously, we're doing not the same division or anything like that, but we're doing the same show. Is that something you struggle with? Because you kind of forget when you're not doing it how hard it actually gets mentally and physically.
For me, it's really like the flick of a switch. When I was in off season and I was having, I'd probably be having junk food maybe twice a week. And I'd sit there and I'd be like, man, how am I going to not have this food? How am I going to, if I'm hungry, just not eat? How am I going to be so strict? But you know what? When that 20 week mark rolled around, it was just like the flick of a switch. That's the only way I can describe it. And I was not concerned about eating anything I shouldn't have. And it was just all of a sudden it was comp prep mode. And I haven't struggled at all in terms of it. I've been so mentally strong. Everybody that I've spoken to has had at least one cheat meal from 20 weeks out till now. I haven't had one. So,
wow, so you've just had like refeeds or something like that?
Not really, no.
Oh, wow.
Had slightly higher carb days, but obviously it's only the same food that I'd normally be eating, just rice and that's about it. But, I have not had anything off diet now for 17 weeks. And you know what? It hasn't really bothered me. It really hasn't. I just, I'm in such a focused state of mind to bring to stage what I want to bring that it's all or nothing. Big deal. I can eat food in 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I'm not concerned about eating it now. If I'm not going to have trained 3 years for a competition to then not be able to diet properly, in my opinion, that's weak. So, I think that if you want to be a bodybuilder, especially if you want to be a professional, you can't bitch and moan about dieting because you're going to be doing it a lot.
Yeah.
It needs to be something that you're just used to and, you accept when it's diet time. Diet time, you don't eat bad food. Off season, you can have some food. It's simple as that. But if you're going to whinge about it and if you're going to say, oh, this is really tough and, I can't stand dieting, I can't wait to just go and eat the whole bakery. Well, how are you going to do that every single year for potentially the next 15 or 20 years?
Yeah, and we hear this a lot. I mean, we hear it from guys, I mean, you know, low-level amateur guys that compete, and they say they hate dieting and stuff. I mean, I can understand someone hating it at the end or the last few weeks being hard or whatever, but yeah, so when someone starts dieting and they're 16 weeks out and they're going, oh, this is hard, this sucks and stuff like that, it kind of, I mean, if you're dieting for 16 weeks, that's just about 4 months of a year. So people would do it year after year and complain the whole time. It's a little bit much. I agree with you there.
When was the last time you heard, you know, you heard a pro sit there and complain that he's 10 weeks into a diet and he's, you know, not enjoying it, or he's, you know, whinging that he wants some food? Like you said, I can understand the last week, the last 10 days. Yeah, the cravings start to onset because you're at your lowest point where your carbs would be at, you know, you're pretty depleted and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, you're looking forward to having a big meal. But yeah, when you've only been dieting for a couple of months, it's either what you want to do or it's not what you want to do. So you have to make that decision.
Yeah, definitely. Now, is it going to be 212 or is it going to be open, or is there kind of a bit of a blurred line there? You're not sure. I mean, because you mentioned your weight before the interview. I don't know if you want to let people know what you're weighing at the moment at 3 weeks out. But, yeah, it's not going to be easy for you to make 212s, is it?
Yeah, it's more I will make weight no problem. It's just this – we weigh in on Saturday morning. And if I just weigh in, you know, if I'm ready and I'm, let's say, 95.5 kilos and we're weighing in on Saturday morning, then – there's no room to move there in terms of a carb load. And I don't really want to walk on stage flat. So it's, I was 100.1 kilos yesterday. I'm drinking a lot of water. So that's for me, I guess, when we cut that water out a little bit, some of that weight's going to come off. But yeah, it's just a matter of the people that are helping me out and doing my prep, they're confident that we'll make 212 and that we'll be able to, you know, and we'll be able to load up and be right on that kind of borderline. So that's, I guess, the beauty of having some good people in my corner. I don't need to stress about it myself. I'm leaving it, you know, all my faith is in them with terms of the weight and the weigh-in and the carb load and everything like that. And my job is just to get the rest of the body fat off and hold, you know, the muscle that's on my body. So, yeah, it's, you know, if that's what you have a coach for, that's what you have, you know, some people, good people that prep you, and you have to trust them 100%. And it takes out the stress of, you know, of where, you know, you might be sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make weight or not. Well, listen to them and whatever they say kind of goes. So, yeah, I they're confident that we'll make, you know, we'll make the 212 class, so I guess that's where we're at.
Awesome. Now, are you training with anyone at the moment, or are you training alone? Or, I mean, because obviously it's not easy, you know, always, you know, training by yourself and stuff, especially in a contest prep phase. But, I mean, what are you doing right now?
I've actually, for the last probably 10 weeks, gone completely solo. I haven't trained with anybody. Just walk in there, headphones on. I feel that if I train with someone else, our ideas of what we need to be doing at this point are completely different. And I want to do what I want to do in the gym. I know what works best for me at this point. The workouts that drag on for 2 hours at this point in a prep is not a good idea. Well, not a good idea for me anyway. So yeah, I've gone to just training by myself and, I don't really need anybody around me at the moment. I feel that, you know, I'm that focused. I don't need anyone to push me. I'm good enough at pushing myself. In the off season, it's great to have someone there with you because, you know, you might be lifting heavy weight and you need a spot and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I'm not trying to pull PBs out at the moment. You know, I'm still trying to keep the weight nice and heavy, but I won't be forcing it that last 2 or 3% where I'm going to risk, you know, failing and you know, an injury and all that kind of stuff where you'd normally have someone there to spot you. So, yeah, I'm very, very happy training on my own at the moment and just head down in the gym, getting my workouts done and then going up and doing my cardio and getting out of there and eating. It's a very, very, you know, zombie-like and regimented for me at the moment.
Yeah, for sure. Now, like the last week of a prep, most people deload with their training. They'll do, you know, just light pump up workouts and things like that. How does your last week look in terms of your training? Do you, you know, not train for a few days before the comp, or do you do these light little pump up workouts? What's your kind of protocol?
I think my protocol will probably be dependent on what my prep coaches are going to be telling me to do. For me, lifting lightweight is not a good idea because I believe that your muscles will adjust to lighter weight. If you have gained that muscle by lifting heavy, then why would you go and lift lightweight when you're right near a comp? Especially if you're about to carb load, your carb load is going to be a lot more effective when you've exhausted the muscle through, you know, through the same resistance that the muscle is used to. If you go around changing things, you're just going to look stringy. So I've tried to keep my volume down, my weight up, the sets down a little bit, and just trying to keep the workouts a little bit shorter.
Yep. So even that last week?
Like I said, the last week, I really am not sure about what we're going to be doing. But I can't see me going into the gym and doing, you know, 100 rep sets and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I think it'll just be, you know, when we're talking about depleting before a load, the idea is to completely deplete the muscles of all glycogen. So whatever is the most effective way that my coach feels that, you know, that's going to be done, that's what will be done. But yeah, I don't feel that, you know, that going and spending 2 hours in the gym lifting light weight, you know, for 20 or 30 reps is going to be the best way to do that.
Yep. Now, we talked a little bit before about, you know, like, you know, you don't really, you know, the opinion of competitors and stuff from a spectator's point of view can change very easily in terms of, you know, you see a picture and you'll think, oh, they're awesome. And, you know, that picture could be telling a few lies and stuff. But what I've been doing with the pro qualifier competitors is getting them to kind of rate some of the people they're up against, or maybe compare them to yourself, or maybe where they could beat each other. But, I mean, someone like, let's just say Gary Wright, for example, there's so much hype around him right now online. There was a picture put up and there was, like, you know, I don't know how many comments I had on my RX Muscle Australia page on Facebook, but it was a lot. And
where it was his photo of his leg on the, like, the calf raise machine.
Yeah. And there's a lot of comments on that. And, you know, there's comments from his trainer, comments of other people thinking he won't do well, people thinking he will do well. And it's just, yeah, a lot of hype around that. Do you think that, I mean, there's talk of Gary, you know, being a lot heavier this year, coming in fuller, not losing, I suppose, the fullness he lost in his legs last year. What do you think about Gary if he is, you know, 100%, or what, you know, people think that he could be? Do you think that's possible, or do you think that it could be possibly, you know, another, I suppose, you know, last year a lot of people consider a letdown year. Do you think it could be that again?
I think the more hype that surrounds somebody, the more chance there is for letdown. I'm not saying that Gary's going to let anyone down, but if you understand what I'm saying there, that if you have 1,000 people that are hyped up for you and you walk on stage and you might not meet the expectation of half of those people, well, then all of a sudden that hype's gone to, oh, well, half the people are let down because he didn't look as good as, you know, that they thought they would. And then the other half might think that, oh, no, he actually, you know, he met my expectations, my personal expectations, so he did look good. I think it's when we're talking about someone being a letdown or someone meeting expectations, it's on a personal level to the spectator. You know, everyone's going to have their own opinion, just like they have their own opinion of these photos. I haven't seen much of Gary Wright. I don't listen to what too many people say about him. I think there's probably bigger threats in that class than him. And not putting anyone down in any way, because I think that Gary is an absolute monster, and he's got a great physique. But I think Mark Gretsch probably has a more aesthetically pleasing physique than him. Mark's got, you know, really nice round muscle bellies, and from what I've seen, he's also got quite nice stage presence. So, you know, everyone's got their own opinions on what will impress the judges more. And the only the only kind of take I have on the whole thing is that, you know, you can sit here and talk about it and argue till the cows come home about who's going to do well on the day and who's going to win the show. And you know what? Nobody's opinion actually matters, because when it comes down to it, we're all going to find out in 2 weeks and 5 days.
It's pretty funny. I mean, everyone kind of like me and Mick have talked about this, where, you know, we give our opinions and people will get offended by it, and, you know, that we play someone third when they could win it and stuff. But in reality, a lot of these classes, you know, you're almost splitting hairs in terms of what people look like last time, what we're predicting they will look like, and what we predict someone will look like and what they actually do look like. I mean, you know, we're not being mean about them or anything like that. We're just kind of predicting that they could come in out of condition, or, you know, and if they do come in condition, then we're happy about it. It's not like we're personally judging them, like, oh, he's an arsehole, so I hope he comes in out of condition, so I'll pick him four. But, I suppose when it is something about your physique and stuff like that, but like you said, it really doesn't matter what we say now and to impact the results, because it just doesn't, you know, that's not how it works.
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, it's the same with it's your job to sit there and to discuss these matters. And that's why you're in a bit of a tough position, because regardless, you have to say something. And you can't please everybody with what you're going to say. And your opinions might change from week to week and, you know, all this kind of thing. So, you know, you're never going to make everybody happy. But people have to understand that, you know, if they don't like what you said, well, maybe they should prove you wrong and get on stage and look amazing and win the show.
Exactly. And I love it when people actually do prove us wrong as well, because it kind of goes to show, you know, like, or they might do a little bit extra cardio, or they might do something extra to improve themselves, and that's what we want as well. So
yeah, they should thank you for motivating them.
Yes, everyone should be thanking me and Mick. But yeah, basically there's one other guy I want to mention. He kind of mentioned to me that he wants to do the 212, but whether he'll make weight or not is kind of remains to be seen, and that's David Cutler. What do you think about David? Because I mean, he's finished I think three times second in a pro qualifying contests. So, I mean, obviously, I imagine you'd be pretty shattered if you got another second or something.
Well, David's got one of the best physiques in the country. There's no doubt about that. There's no arguing that. Like you've just said, he's come second in this pro qualifier and just missed out, you know, that many times. The only thing that I see with him doing the 212, whether he makes weight or not, is David is a taller guy. Now, if you go and look at a professional lineup in a 212 IFBB show, how tall are the guys?
Yeah, not tall.
Not tall at all. They're ranging from, you know, 5'4 to 5'7 at best. 5'7 would be the absolute limit, the tallest guy on stage. So if you've got someone at 5'10 on a 212 stage, he's going to look a little bit out of place, because firstly, he's going to be an absolute, you know, a giant compared to the rest in terms of how much taller he is. But also, when you're packing 96 kilos of muscle onto a frame that's 5'5" versus 96 kilos of muscle on a frame that's 5'10", who's going to look bigger?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's going to be night and day. Someone that's 5'5" with 96 kilos is going to look literally double the size of someone that's 5'10" and 96 kilos. So that's my opinion when it comes to, you know, the taller guys doing the 212 class. I believe that the 212 class is designed for the shorter guys, because, you know, they need to have a certain amount of muscle on a frame that's not so tall. And the taller guys need to be in the open class because they have the ability to be that much heavier.
Yeah, I totally agree with you as well. And there was always talk about how, you know, it was going to bring in, the 212 is going to bring in guys like Troy Alves and stuff like that. And then we kind of found out that, you know, Troy was just too tall for the class, and he's being out-muscled by these shorter dudes like, you know, your Flex Lewis's, your Jose Raymond's and all that kind of stuff. So it really is a shorter guy's class, you know, like you said, probably 5'7", probably at the max, you know, maybe 5'8", if they've got, you know, a crazy, crazy, crazy small waist or something. But yeah, I totally agree with everything you just said. But Adam, we're coming to the end of the interview. Is there anything else you want to mention or any sponsors out there you want to shout out?
A big shout out to International Protein, Christine and Troy. You guys are amazing. Honestly, I cannot thank them enough. They've been with me from the beginning, and anything I need, they're there for me for. So, yeah, it's so exciting to be, I guess, under their name, with them being the naming right sponsors of the show.
That's massive. I mean, I think it's awesome they've put up that money and to be the main sponsor of the Australian Pro Grand Prix. Are you going to be at their booth at all over the weekend?
Yeah, I'll definitely be there at some stage. I guess it's just all going to depend on how Saturday goes. But yeah, they're going to have Brandon Ray there as well, and I can't wait to meet him and see how he looks in real life. He's one of my favorite bodybuilders. This guy, that guy's so smart. I seriously sit there and study his Instagram posts. The stuff he comes up with, he is an absolute genius. He is the epitome of what a clever bodybuilder in this day and age really is. So it's really, really exciting that they're bringing him over, and yeah, it's just going to make their stand and their impact on the show even more.
Yeah, definitely. And with that, hopefully for your sake, they'll have two 212 bodybuilders, IFBB pros on their booth that weekend.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Is there anyone else out there, Adam, or is that it?
No, that's it. All good.
Awesome, mate. I'm looking forward to seeing you up on stage battling it out for your IFBB Pro card in just under 3 weeks' time now. So it's very, very exciting. That's Adam Browner, 2011 IFBB Mr. Australia and potential 212 IFBB Pro.
International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shop fronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets, or shop online at massnutrition.com.au.
Need that edge in your training to push past barriers, break PBs, and take the body you've been working so hard for to the next level? Well, look no further. Gripped Fitness, the brand that supports the industry and Australia's top athletes. Gripped has a complete range of lifting accessories and apparel designed to get you lifting more, while providing the needed support and aesthetics to take your body to the next level. Check them out at www.gripped.com.au. Get a grip.
Thermobaron Protein, the world's most potent fat-shredding thermogenic protein. It's clinically dosed with CLA, African mango, raspberry ketones, green coffee beans, and green tea extracts. A full-spectrum protein that assists with burning fat, natural water depletion, and it also increases focus and energy with added branched-chain amino acids for anti-catabolism and recovery. Available in 6 delicious flavors and in 2 convenient sizes. Demand it today from your local supplement store. Scoop, shake, and get shredded.
Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today.
My Muscle Chef is the perfect solution for anyone who doesn't want to spend hours cooking, cleaning, and doing groceries every week. You can now focus on your training knowing your diet is taken care of. All you need to do is microwave and eat. To order, simply jump online at MyMuscleChef.com or call 1-300-364-993.
Here's to the athlete, the bodybuilder, the figure competitor, those who are committed, those who sacrifice, those who want to be different, the ones that get up an hour before they have to, that put their body on the line for their goals and are never, ever satisfied with close enough. You can ridicule them, but you can never ignore them because they challenge the way people make them think about themselves. And while the masses try to confine them and dismiss them, at ATP we celebrate their achievements, their dedication, and why they improve the world. Visit us on Facebook or at www.atpscience.com.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined once again by Michael Galley, and we're here to wrap up the show. Mick, I had two very good interviews this week. I was very happy with it. I interviewed Tony Doherty, and Tony has been awesome on the show. People absolutely love him. They can't get enough.
Mate, I love listening to Tony's interviews. He's been in the sport a hell of a long time. FedEx coming up only just over 2.5 weeks away, which is going to be the biggest probably sports bodybuilding sports show we've had in Australia yet, which is exciting. So every time he comes on, he's mentioning more names that are doing the comps or what's been going on behind the scenes. So he's definitely one of those guys I listen to from the start of the interview to the end.
Yeah. And I love that Tony put it out there that he's hoping to get Ben Pekulski out. So that was the first time he's officially come out and said that. So,
okay.
Yeah, awesome. He said, Ben Pekulski said to him, he said it's a 95% chance that he'll be out competing.
He's in for sure. 95 means in.
Yeah, I think 95 more means 99, unless there's like some type of issue where they can't come or whatever. But yeah, I'm very, very excited for that because, that just makes the lineup just super ridiculous if it wasn't already. And I enjoyed talking to Adam Browner as well. And I'm very interested to see how he shows up, if he's at 100% crazy in condition and he brings that fullness and all that type of stuff. And it sounds like he's going to fit in that 212 and he's going to be a contender, no doubt.
Yep. So. Hang on, that was just my barbecue lid going flying off.
Oh, that's fine.
That's been my pick from day one, you know that. Same with Scott. I'm training with Adam actually this weekend. We're going to do a session, so I'll have a bit of a good idea at 2 weeks out how he's looking. But I do get the occasional photo from Adam that other people haven't been getting, or he hasn't been putting on the forums, and he's looking good. He's ready.
I can't wait to see it. I absolutely can't wait. And Mick, what have you been up to this week, mate? Because I've chatted on the phone once or twice, but what's been going on?
Yeah, you're right, mate. We normally chat 2-3 times a day, but you're obviously pretty busy at the moment with your prep and everything you've going on.
I've lost contact with like my parents pretty much at the moment.
Yeah, things go out the window when they die, don't they? I won't mention your little blunder before we started recording. Skip over that. All right. No, I've had a pretty good week again. Plenty of sun. Work's been full on. We had a few of the boys up here over the weekend. Sadek, caught up with Chris Thomas and that for dinner. Just going a few things there. Monica and Matt were up here as well for their seminar. All good, mate.
Awesome. Now, you're actually, you mentioned Chris Thomas. You're working Chris Thomas now.
Well, we are going to start. Chris did shock me when we went and had dinner at Hurricanes Saturday night, and which is a great place to go. If anyone's never been to Hurricanes before, I encourage you to do so.
I went to one in Sydney, actually, when I went to Hawaii like a few years ago. I had one night back in Sydney, or two nights in Sydney, I can't remember. And I just went and looked for a place to eat, and it was the one at Darling Harbour. And I was so happy because after spending 2 weeks or whatever in Hawaii, where sometimes in America you don't always get the cleanest types of food, you know what I mean? You get some of that real dirty type food. And yeah. I stopped in about Hurricanes, and it was honestly one of the best meals I've ever had in my life. And it was huge, and it was like...
Those ribs, oh.
I can't even remember what I had there now, but it was amazing. It was amazing.
The only thing I remember, we've all turned up. You had Sudek, who's dieting. You've got Chris Thomas and Amy Wright. They're both dieting. for the pro qual. You've got Ben London was there, who owns FKM Wear. Matt and Monica, and it's so friggin' damp, Zabe. It's so hot in the hurricanes that we've got to surface. Like, all of us were sitting there sweating our asses off. It was quite embarrassing. Jimmy had a singlet on, he was sweating like you wouldn't believe it. It was quite funny. But yeah, Chris and I have known each other a long time. It has been something we've chatted about a fair bit in the last few months. I just didn't know what I wanted to do personally. I didn't know if I was actually done for good, or, you know, was there something left in the tank? What did I want to do? And we talk more and more and more, and I've always felt a lot of trust and comfort in Chris, and I thought, and I am seeing what he's doing with these other guys, and I think Chris could probably get a little bit more out of me. So at this stage, we're looking at October. I did say to you before, the only thing that's getting to me at the moment, Zabe, and not, you know, look, it's just the way the venues are going at the moment with the IFBB comps especially. It's hard to put in a massive 12 to 14 week prep and you're getting on stage in something that's subpar. So in all honesty, that's another thing I'm going to look at, and we'll go from there.
Yeah. So it depends how obviously it's set up and all that kind of stuff with the venue and all that
local stuff. Oh, yeah. So. Me and a few of the other boys were chatting the other day that used to compete back in the, you know, I started, my first ever comp was 91. Now on the Gold Coast, you had comps then back at the, you know, they were at the casino or the art center, and these places were incredible. The casino was unbelievable. I've never been anywhere like it. We had all the top guys from overseas coming out. So to me, it's definitely gone back a lot there. I don't know. Obviously, they're trying to save money with those venues, but it'd be great for everyone who's just come into the sport in the last few years to experience being on stages like that, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Mick, this will make you feel so old. I was 2 years old when you first competed.
What? No, you weren't. You couldn't have been.
You said you competed in 91, didn't you?
Yeah.
Born in 89.
Jesus Christ. I was in year 11 at school, Xavier. I did 5 shows in my first year in 91. And I remember it like it was yesterday. 2 in March, and then I did 3 in September.
Oh, so I was actually 1 when you first competed.
I said 91, didn't I? I did say
yeah,
91.
Yeah, early 91, though. I still would have been 1 year old.
Now, that's just put a spin on everything, hasn't it?
Yeah, jeez.
Anyway, I'm looking good for my age. That's all that matters.
Exactly. Looking very good for your age.
I'm going to go downhill fast soon, though, aren't I? I reckon I'll hit 40 and I'll just put on 10 years worth of life.
No. I think you'll do well. Are you going to dye your hair when you get to that point?
Mate, it's going great now. No, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be one of those guys that dyes their hair. No way in hell.
I am.
I've got a lot of grey going through it now, and I'm just saying it's the George Clooney look.
Wise.
I'm sticking with that.
I'm definitely dyeing my hair, because I'll go grey way too early, I reckon.
Yeah.
I've just got a few on my sides. I'm like, oh, it's depressing. I pluck them out.
I held out for a long, long, long time. I got my first one ever, believe it or not, at 38.
Really?
Yeah, and then they started popping up everywhere. So I don't know why, because I'm not really a stressed person. So I don't know.
I'm buggered. I've already got a few around the side, but I always pluck them out.
I don't know. Is that one of those myths? If you pluck it out, more grow back?
I think that's... No, I don't know. I haven't really heard of that.
What's happening, Zabe? Is more coming back?
Oh, fuck, I don't know, mate. Probably.
Plucking them.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. I'm going to have to diet or something. I don't know. But
When we get a room at in Melbourne, let me have a look through, okay?
All right, you can go through it with a fine tooth comb.
Anyway.
Now, over the week, what did I get to? I had my last treat meal, Mick.
It was a big one.
It was a big one, mate. Because there's this place that Holly and I, like, there's a sushi place, and it's in, we live up in North Perth, so we live probably maybe 30, 35 minutes out of the city, basically. And there's a place, and it's in South Perth, basically. So it's like just slightly south of Perth, you know, maybe 15 minutes or whatever. So it's about a 45-minute drive away from us. It's this sushi place, and it's honestly the best sushi I've ever had in my life by far. So it kind of sucks that it's 45 minutes away, so it's an hour and a half round trip. But the week before when I last had a cheat meal, we went there, and it was like, you know when you have a cheat meal and you eat, you know, just really dirty food and then you've got nowhere to go, so you just keep eating dirtier food and you feel kind of terrible at the end of it? When you start with your sushi, like we had, I can't even remember, like, you know, spring rolls, we had this sushi, it was like katsu chicken sushi, but it's like, you can't explain it until you eat it. You will have to, when you come over, Mick, for the Omara or whenever else you come over, we'll have to go there.
Okay, is that your invitation to the Omara Classic?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I'm there.
Yeah, and
I'm there.
We definitely have to go to this place because it's my favorite place to eat, basically. Right. So we end up going there, and I said, okay, this week I'm not going to have as much because I wanted to go elsewhere and eat as well. So I went there, had my I think 7 or 8 pieces of sushi. I had what else did I have there? There's a few other things I had there as well. And then we took off and we went up to this place called Hillary's Boat Harbor, which is basically it's like a place where there's heaps of food choices kind of thing. So it's a boat harbor. It's got heaps of restaurants and, you know, bars and all that type of stuff. Went up there, got some pizza. And we got like a large one as well. And I think I ate 10 pieces and Holly ate 2.
Jesus.
We moved on from there. We went to, have you ever heard of Sanchuros? It's like, it's almost like a Perth version of Max Brenner.
I haven't, but you actually did mention it to me a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, mate, it's amazing. And I ended up getting like heaps from there, and at that point I was full, and then I went home and ate more food, and it was just stupid, mate. Like, Holly was amazed.
Was it Saturday night or Sunday?
That was Saturday night.
How do you feel first thing Sunday morning?
Okay, pretty. I didn't get to sleep. I couldn't really sleep this week. I normally sleep like a baby, but I couldn't really sleep, so I felt very fucking tired.
Yeah,
not the best. But
so what? Then you've got through. That was your last one for the next 3 weeks, yeah?
Yeah, and I'll have one after the show.
Yep.
But yeah, if that's the last one, I might have a bit of a refeed next weekend, just a bit more carbs, but yeah. But yeah, there's a bit, like, here's the thing, I put up a photo of my cheat meal, and it's like a photo of like some of my courses I had, and a picture of me and Holly when we went out there as well. And I kind of made a comment on there saying something like, you know, I can't remember what I said, but anyway, there's a lot of people out there that seem to, they're kind of hating on cheat meals at the moment. For obviously, the people that don't have cheat meals, they say they're pointless. They say they're just an excuse to cheat on your diet and stuff like that. But Mick, you've been in this sport a long time, and like you've seen, you know.
Here we go again.
No. I'm being saying you're nice. I'm saying you're experienced and whatever. Yeah, experienced and knowledgeable. So you've seen a lot of like top guys, top amateurs,
yep.
Probably pros. Use cheat meals and get in, you know, amazing condition.
Yep. Yep.
And but there seems to be a lot of hate on cheat meals at the moment.
Are we referring to a thread that was put up the other day on Facebook?
Partially. I'm referring to that, and I'm referring to a few other ones I've seen as well, actually.
Yeah. Mate, I'm going to go on the thread I saw the other day, and I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I think the thread was either put out of frustration or maybe a little bit of envy by the guys that aren't doing it. And the natural guys, and now I don't think there's any difference between being a natural or a guy that's on any chemicals. I've seen guys naturally that can do cheat meals as well all day long, or a couple of scheduled ones. Man, every top guy I've seen at the moment, and we're talking all the guys in Australia, so many of the top pros that I've hung out with in the States that are getting ready for comps, they all do scheduled cheat meals. It works great. It kicks your metabolism into gear. It gives you that mental break for that day. Gives you a chance just to switch off, hang out with your mates, do what you want. Then you get back into it the next day. These guys, and mate, that's awesome. If you want to do a whole prep of 12 weeks with no cheating whatsoever and just eat your chicken and rice or whatever in your container, that's awesome. But these guys, for the majority, I'm not talking, there are a couple of really top class guys. Alec is one of them. Nathan Moss is another one. But for the majority of them, they do tend to come in a lot flatter. They do tend to be a hell of a lot moodier throughout that whole prep. Now, if I had the choice of those two diets, of course I'm going to go the one where you've got scheduled cheat meals in it. Now, Chris Thomas is doing an amazing job with Sonny. And now he's one guy we can pick up straight away. Also, Chris does it to himself. I had dinner with Chris Saturday night. Chris is looking incredible. And he gives himself a 6-hour window to eat whatever he wants for those 6 hours. It's not doing any of these guys any harm. So for someone, at the end of the day, there's so many different approaches to dieting. So it's the same as you. Lately, you've seen on Facebook everyone bagging other training methods. You've got to find out what works for you and stick with it. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. It's being open-minded as well. Like in the past, I would think, you know, when I was younger, I used to think like, oh, that's the best way. That's the way I've learned. That's the way you see most people do it. So that's the only way. But you kind of learn there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know what I mean? Yep. And the thing is, like, if you're not, I kind of went into this prep saying to myself, like, because I hadn't done it in 3.5 years, and I had to maintain, obviously, you know, like a business, you know, my own business in RX and stuff, and I wanted that to work, and I didn't want a diet to control my life, you know what I mean? I didn't want it to be what defined me and not have any fun for 4 months or whatever. That's a big chunk of a year. It's a third of a year, basically, you're going to be dieting. So I basically said, okay, well, I'm going to have cheat meals, you know, not every week. Like, I've had most weeks, but not every week. And I'm going to enjoy myself when I go out. And that's exactly like, you know what I mean? A lot of a week you look forward to that. And when you get to that day, you have an awesome night. Like, the other night, I had an absolutely killer night. Like, and yeah. If you're not doing cheat meals, it's kind of, I mean, it's hard to do that a lot of the time.
It is, mate. And hey, it's not, you're looking insane. So it's not like it's having any bad effect at all. I mean, there's been times where I've done cheat meals, and admittedly, yeah, I've turned up in some cops looking off, but it wasn't because of those cheat meals. It was because just basically I got lazy in every other aspect of the prep. And then there's been preps where I've turned up looking 100% on and had massive cheat days that will last all day long, every day, every Sunday, right up to a week out for a comp. So I don't understand the hating on it. And there was a fair few people that got on there and spoke about it. But the guys that are doing it at the moment and doing it properly are getting great results.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, I see nothing wrong with the other side of it too. I mean, yeah, like you said, if you want to go through and do just like a really high carb day or whatever, that's fine. Like I watched an Evan Santopani video the other day, and he had like a refeed day where he basically said, you know, he eats, you know, a lot of his same meals, it kind of sounded like, but he adds in, you know, he'll add in waffles and cereal and all this other stuff, you know what I mean? So he's just adding in stuff, he said, that's not, you know, particularly crazily horrible, you know what I mean? So it's not like he's having fried food or anything like that, but he's adding in, you know, he's adding in whatever cereal he wanted and waffles and all that kind of stuff. So, it, you know, if you call that a cheat meal or a cheat day or whatever, he's pretty much, you know, he's eating a lot of extra calories, and he's trained by, you know, one of the most famous trainers in the world, Chris Aceto. So,
yep, exactly. Yeah, he obviously knows what he's doing.
Yeah, and obviously, speaking of Chris Aceto, he's going to be out for FedEx as well, which is sounds like it's been 100% confirmed, and he's going to be out here with Dave Palumbo and the RX crew. So he's obviously out here. His main priority, I think, is you know, with Sean Roden, Jose Raymond, and Evan Santopani. But he's definitely going to be doing wrap up videos and stuff like that, and doing some stuff with Dave and the RX crew. So that's going to be awesome. I'm really excited to meet Chris, and as I'm sure you are, Mick.
Yeah, I can't wait to meet him, mate. I've always been a big fan of Chris, and he's been around a long, long time. He obviously was the main guy looking after Jay Cutler back in the day when Jay was trying to get his pro card. Yeah, it'd be great to sit down and just chat with him.
Yeah, I almost wouldn't mind if I had the time just to sit down and actually interview Chris myself. I mean, I know you know, Dave's going to interview him for – actually, Dave's got a new show called Behind the Muscle, which is like a video show, and he's going to interview – he's got a few planned, like Oscar Arden and stuff like that, where he goes right back and they've got all this video footage and photos and stuff like that they have on the video interview. It's almost like a 60 minutes type interview. They did one with I don't know if you know Jimmy the Bull, Pelletier.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, he did one with him the other day because he works for RX and stuff on their Heavy Muscle TV show. And he did one with him the other day, and it was actually like I was expecting him to, you know, because Jimmy's like crazy. And I was expecting him to be a bit nuts, but I think Dave kind of calmed him down and actually talked a bit about, you know, his family and, you know, how when he got into the whole thing and what it was like and all that type of stuff. And it was really, really interesting. So they had heaps of, you know, they had some video, they had photos and all that stuff. So it was done really well. So I think they're going to do it with Chris Aceto on there as well. But I wouldn't mind just for the Australian site, just getting a short little interview with Chris and just asking him about, you know, prepping Jay Cutler for last year's Olympia, what it was like when he used to prep Jay and obviously prepping the guys he's prepping for this Arnold and stuff. And yeah. I mean, I reckon that'd be really exciting.
I reckon. I got a feeling he'll give you a bit of his time, mate, for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. He's going to be a busy man, but obviously, with all the stuff for RX and then having three of the top athletes in the world, he's going to be going to have his hands pretty full. And I know Chris is a guy that pays attention to detail, too. So if one of them wants him in his room to check how they're going or whatever, he's going to be there straight away. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he's really. I sent Chris an email the other day because Tony needed us contact information from Jose. And I sent Chris an email. Within probably about 2 minutes, I got a reply, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, that is good. Yeah, I like guys like that. Get straight back to you instead of 2 or 3 days later.
Yeah, and it was actually email too. It wasn't like a Facebook message. It was legitimately email.
Yeah, happy
to have. So, yeah, I only check my email every few hours. So you're not going to get a 2-minute response from me, unlikely anyway. But anyway, Mick, we're going to introduce a new segment. It's a segment based it's a segment for me because I haven't actually had one. It's going to be X's underrated bodybuilder of the week. Now, this week, I sent you the picture. This is a guy who I said was underrated before I actually even saw this picture.
Yep.
And this week's underrated bodybuilder of the week is William Bonack. Now, this guy is freaking... I mean, the picture I sent you, the most muscular, that's going to be up on the RX Muscle Instagram and Facebook page. So I'm going to post that as soon as we finish this show. So it'll be up by the time the show's up. And he's looking out of control. I mean, he is literally like... I mean, he finished fifth in a show last year, late last year, behind Branch and a few other guys. But, you know, people that were at the show were saying he should have been up in third and beating these guys out. So, I mean, what do you think, Mick? Like, he's going to be doing the Australian Pro in just 2.5 weeks' time. Do you think he has a chance of really knocking off some big names and shocking people?
Absolutely. You you mentioned this guy to me last week or the week before, and unfortunately I hadn't heard from him, my mistake. You sent me the photo before we started recording, and my words were just like, what the fuck? That's some serious muscle on his frame. And it's hard. I've only got one photo so far, but he's not lacking anything in that photo. He's got a tight waist. His fullness is incredible. His traps are massive. Delts are there. Chest, arms are friggin' incredible. Legs look there. Calves are there. Condition-wise, I'm not sure when this photo was taken, but he looks like he's well on track. If this is judged fairly and stuff like that, I mean, this shot, most muscular, looks better than Flex Lewis when he does it.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. But he's got to beat out some good guys. Like, he's got to beat out, you know, if he wants to get a really high placing, he might have to beat out guys like Evan Centipani, Rolly Winkler, Ben Bukulski, Dave Henry. It's going to be interesting seeing him next to Dave Henry. Like, I think he's a tiny bit taller, a little bit bigger than Dave Henry. He's got to beat. I mean, I reckon he can beat a guy like Branch Warren. You know what I mean? I think he can take out some big names. So
I think he can too, mate. I keep looking at this picture now and I'm like, I'd like to see a few more shots from the side and the rear, but if that's got anything to go on this most muscular, he's going to be a headache in a lot of these guys.
Yeah, so he's my underrated bodybuilder of the week, and I've got a heap up my sleeve as well. So there's so many guys that – the reason why I did is because there are so many guys that I think of on an amateur level in Australia and an international level that are just flat out underrated, and you hear, you know, bugger all from. So
yeah, that's nuts.
Yeah, insane. So – I want to mention another guy that's going to be at FitX, not competing, but a legend of legend of bodybuilding. That's Chris Cormier. Now, he's won – people actually don't know this. People think maybe he's just won one of them, but he's won 3 Australian Pro Grand Prix, and he's one of the guys with Dexter that really kind of put the Australian Pro on the map pretty much. I'm excited to see Chris out here, even though he won't be competing. I'm sure he'll be getting up on the pro stage and maybe – doing something with Tony, a bit of an interview or something, and he'll be around the expo and all that stuff. So Chris is, I'm sure it's probably half a party trip for Chris, because we've always heard stories from him.
I've ended up in a few weird places with Chris over the years. He really, I think he won the first ever Aussie Pro, and he's come out here quite a few times since. I think he might have got second once when Lee Priest won it. He has come out here and emceed it as well. Chris is just a cool cat. He's got a great sense of humour. He's a very easygoing guy, and he's always in golds when I'm there. He's PTing other people. He's just a cool guy, mate. He's nothing ever seems too much for Chris. He'll always seems to go to your way to stop and have a chat.
Yeah, and he's actually – who did he ring? He rang Dave Palumbo. Is like – I think it was Dave Palumbo. Oh, wait, I don't want to get this wrong, but I thought he rang Dave Palumbo maybe a month or two ago, 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And it was like 2 in the morning or something, and he knew Dave would be the only guy up that he could probably call, because Dave always stays up late working and stuff like that. And he rang Dave saying he wanted to make a comeback and stuff. So I don't know if that's legitimate or not, but I mean, I know it's legitimate that he called him up, but I don't know if it's legitimate that he wants to make a comeback.
At 2 in the morning?
Yeah, something like that. 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning or something. So
maybe he was out somewhere running amok.
That's exactly what Dave said. He's like, he could have been doing that.
Yeah, his brain wasn't thinking properly, and he was like, yeah, I can get back up there.
But when he did make a comeback, he looked really good, but he had that torn tricep. That's the only thing that really held him back.
That was 2007, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was around there, yeah.
So that's a long time ago too. Like, and he'd had a couple of years off between
Might have been 08, actually.
08, sure. Yeah. Tough, but yeah, he was no doubt, he was incredible in his day. I mean, when he nailed that 99 Olympia, you know, that was probably his best ever look with the help of Chad Nichols. He looked amazing.
Yeah. And this is kind of another guy that I think is like an underrated dude. He's competed before a few times, but he's just been on the outside of that 212 class. And that's Amit Sapir. Now, we've seen a picture of him 12 weeks out. That's going to be up on the RX Muscle Instagram and Facebook page. Now, he's looking freaking massive, isn't he, Mick? Like, and because he's trained by John Meadows, who is a very, very knowledgeable guy. I think, you know, John Meadows trained Mark Dugdale for the Olympia this year, just gone. I remember shows after where Mark Dugdale actually kind of improved and was in absolutely crazy condition. I mean, John himself is an NPC competitor, top NPC competitor, that never comes in out of condition. So, you know, if Amit kind of comes in condition, he can kind of shake up that 212 and be another guy that's going to be a contender, you know what I mean? So I think that's incredibly exciting.
Yeah, he was so thick, wasn't he? The shot I saw, which you gave me, was a standing front relaxed, and he's not lacking any body parts. Thick, thick legs and calves. His arms look humongous just in that relaxed position. So, fuck, there's a couple of good guys coming up in there.
Yeah, and you know when guys hook up with a coach and you just almost know they're going to be at their best? You know, like, there's certain guys that, there's certain coaches, when someone hooks up with them, you know they're going to be at their best. I feel like when someone hooks up with George Farah, they've got a lot of potential, but sometimes it's hit and miss, and sometimes when it's hit, it's absolutely amazing. But when someone hooks up with, like, Chris Aceto, and they've had a few off performances, you almost know they're going to be a lot better. Or if they hook up with John Meadows, you know, there's a few other ones that just tend to always get them in condition. And then there's some contest prep coaches that seem to be a bit hit-miss. I mean, it used to be like that with Milos back in the day. Anyone used to go to him, and they'd come in looking, you know, a million times better the next time they competed. So what that's through or whatever is, you know, up for debate. But, there's just some guys that always seem to, like, you get excited when they start working with that coach.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh, man, I'm excited to see what these guys can do. It's going to be interesting next couple of months.
Yeah, definitely. That's about it for the radio show, Mick. There's a few other things I want to mention just to finish it off about our sponsors and things like that. But do you have a shout-out of a week or anything like that?
I didn't this week, mate. I was very unprepared. My bad. I'm sorry about that.
Mate, that's fine. I wanted to mention, actually, I've been so slack on my video blogs. Incredibly, incredibly slack. It's not even about being slack. It's just I've been busy with other stuff and prepping, and my mind's been elsewhere. So I just want to mention that I recorded one the other night, actually, on my phone. So I'm going to try to get that just edited, because I've got some video editing stuff on my phone now, which apparently works all right, so I can upload that nice and easy to YouTube. So it was actually after my cheat meal. It was about 12:30 at night. Holly had gone to bed, so I thought, oh, I'll give this a go. So I'll try to put that up. That's a 3-week out video blog. It'll be up on YouTube at youtube.com/ Xavier A. Wills. Also, Girls Dig Muscle Radio. Scotty gave me, well, he didn't actually do it on the radio show, which is a shame, but he said he really, really likes Girls Dig Muscle Radio. So,
Scotty.
He said he really liked it, and he really liked the interviews and stuff and the way Amy and I worked together and stuff on there. So the last episode went up the other day. We had IFBB Pro qualifier competitors and also Arnold amateur competitors, Sophie Gwydlin and Andy Forbes on. So that was a really, really good show, and I think people will really enjoy that one. And Sophie Gwydlin, Mick, she has 220,000+ followers on Facebook now.
Jesus.
Yeah, she's killing it.
Yeah, massively.
It's pretty safe to say.
Popular girl.
Yeah, it's insane. And because she sells you know, like, programs and stuff through her website, and she's got, like,
yeah, she does real well.
Yeah, cookbook and stuff. So she's killing it with that. But so that's most of the stuff I want to mention. I want to mention, obviously, Muscle Nutrition. The show is brought to you by Muscle Nutrition. And Matt and Monica crew were up there on the weekend in Queensland, and you got to catch up with them and everything?
Yeah, I did, mate. I saw them Saturday night. They came to Hurricanes. Just caught up with them quickly. They were up here to hold a seminar for their upcoming comp, which is in April. So I hear there was a pretty big turnout on the Sunday as well. All the best to them. And, yeah, it was good to catch up with Matt. I haven't seen Matt since we did the play-by-play for the Western Suburbs.
Oh, really?
No, I haven't seen him since then.
Well, it's been a while, man. So that would obviously have been good to catch up with him, and hopefully I can catch up with him at FitX and stuff like that as well. So also Gripped Fitness Accessories, they are the official sponsor of WBFF in Australia. All WBFF athletes receive 15% off Gripped Fitness Accessory products. ATP Science. Now, I want to mention this, Nick. I got sent a product by them. I got sent three products by them, generously. I got sent their Block E. I got sent their Subcut. And I also got sent a product, which is a pain relief product, after I mentioned to Matt that I've got some bicep tendonitis, and it was just giving me grief, pretty much. And he said, okay, well, he He said, ask Elsa, who works for ATP, he said, ask her to send one out for you and see how it goes. And he said, it's really, really good. And Matt kind of just told me the breakdown of it and all that stuff. So I basically, you know, I went to train biceps. Actually, I trained legs and I put it on my knees and it helped dramatically. Like, I had no negative knee pain, but my knee pain isn't incredibly bad, but I normally do feel it when I train legs. But basically, my knees just got hot and that was it. And then I thought, okay, I'll test it on biceps. So I put it on both my biceps because I didn't want one to get hot and one not to. And I've had tendonitis in there for about 7-8 weeks. My training's been very different on biceps and triceps as well, just because, and also back. Back is a big one for my tendonitis as well, where I struggle to train. And I could train totally like normal. I did not feel any tendonitis whatsoever, Mick. So this stuff is legit. Like,
yeah, it's another top product by Matt.
Yeah, and he actually, you got some for your dad as well.
I did, yeah. He was having sort of arthritis pain and that around his wrist area, and it's definitely helped him there as well. So Matt's just churning out top product after top product, mate. Very impressive. So yeah,
and this product isn't out yet, so please don't ask me directly where to buy it from straight away. If you're going to ask any, I'd probably go to the ATP website, ATP Science website, and email through there, and they'll be able to give you an answer, because I always get, like, after I do these radio shows or I put up a post on Facebook, I get so many messages asking, where do I get this from, how do I get it, when's it going to be out, and I just don't have all the answers, but it will be out quite soon, I'm sure. And it's basically like a roll-on. You just roll it on wherever you have the pain, and it just works. So and one last shout out, My Muscle Chef, their orders close midnight on Tuesday nights for the weekend's orders. Make sure you get your orders in before then. And Mick, I've split up the sponsors, so I'm mentioning half of them with Scotty now and half of them with you. So
okay, good. Yeah, all right. Sweet. At least you won't forget them, will you?
Yeah, exactly. So that's that's always good. But now that's it for episode number 94 of Body Muscle Radio. Yeah. Very, very close to your trip to the Bahamas, is it?
The Bahamas. Thank you very much.
Okay, so for Michael Galley and myself, Xavier Wills, this week, that's it for Aussie Muscle Radio. And remember, with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia, the truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble, only on Aussie Muscle Radio.